We'll call the Planning Commission meeting to order for November 19th, 2019. Roll call and determination of a quorum, please.
Chair Sutler.
Present.
Vice Chair Borders.
Here.
Commissioner Doors.
Here.
Commissioner Eswine.
Here.
Commissioner Preston.
Here.
Commissioner Tingle.
Here.
Commissioner Wiggins.
Here.
A quorum's present.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Borders, would you lead us in the pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'm sorry, that's my bad.
No problem. Public comment. The public is invited at this time to comment on and discuss any topic that is relevant to or within the authority of the Planning Commission, including any matters that is not specifically included in the agenda as an agenda item. Is there any public comment at this time? Seeing none, approval of minutes for September 25th, 2019 workshop. So we'll take, and then August 22nd, 2019 workshop, and September 26th, 2019 minutes. We'll start with September 25th. Any changes or comments or seeing
Mr.
that?
Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I move we accept the minutes of the Planning Commission for September 25th, 2019.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Commissioner Eswine seconds. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Next, the minutes of August 22nd, 2019. Is there changes? If not, a motion. Commissioner Borders?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the workshop minutes of August 22nd, 2019.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Commissioner, we have a second. Commissioner Tingle, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. And lastly, minutes for the September 26th workshop.
Mr. Chairman, if I'm not mistaken, I was not present at that workshop. Yeah, I was not. I was out of town. So if we could change that to...
Make a change in that?
Absent.
With that change, is there a motion?
I move.
Commissioner Tingle makes a motion. Do we have a second? Commissioner Eschlein, all in favor? Aye.
I abstain.
Commissioner Doors abstain. That takes care of that. Thank you. Moving forward. Modification of agenda. Is there any modification by staff that we need to modify anything on the agenda?
At this point, no. However, I do have some projects where the applicant does not appear to be here yet. When we get to those, if the applicant hasn't arrived yet, I may ask you to take the next one, if that's okay. But in the meantime, let's plan to keep the agenda as is.
Thank you. First item, E1, SUP-19-169, for possible action, discussion, and possible action regarding the request for a special use permit to allow a beauty shop on property zone General Office GO, located at 504 East Musser Street, APN 004-181-03. Ms. Ferris?
Thank you. Heather Ferris, Associate Planner for the record. The applicant is seeking a special use permit to operate a beauty shop in a 900-square-foot space in an existing building. The property is zoned general office. Carson City Municipal Code allows a beauty shop as a conditional use in the general office zoning district. Therefore, a special use permit is required. The building is approximately 10,080 square feet and houses multiple tenants. Uses within the building include office space, and the proposed beauty shop space was previously occupied by a coffee shop. The area contains a mix of uses, including an apartment complex to the north, single-family residence, and medical office to the east, an office and parking lot, to the west and state offices to the south. The beauty shop would consist of two shampoo bowls and one pedicure station. Services would include manicures, pedicures, haircuts and styling, hair coloring, and lash extensions. There will be no more than four employees, including hairstylists and nail technicians, working at any one time, and clients would be arriving by appointment. The Planning Commission is authorized to approve a special use permit upon making each of the required findings in the affirmative. Staff was able to make all seven findings as outlined in the staff report and is recommending approval subject to the five conditions of approval, which are also included in the staff report. We have not received any public correspondence regarding this proposal. The applicant, Caress Williams, is here and may wish to address the commission. And with that, I'm available for questions.
Any questions for staff on this item? Seeing none, would the applicant like to come forward, please? Take a seat if you would, please. And to turn the mic on, just hit the, when it's green, you're good to go. Is there anything you would, first of all, the five conditions of approval, are you okay with those? Or,
mm-hmm.
Are those good?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anything you would like to add to the presentation that staff made?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so.
Seeing that. Okay. Any questions for the applicant? No questions. Thank you. We'll bring it back.
Identify yourself.
I'm sorry.
Cress Williams.
I'll bring it back for further discussion or a motion.
Excuse me, Chair, did you want to open public comment?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, I am Jennifer Hildebrand. I'm the property manager for the property. We absolutely want this special assessment to go through. We want this tenant. The only condition that was of concern was upgrading the ADA ramp on the curb. Our concern stems from the fact of the cost. We've submitted for three bids. I've only, unfortunately, received one back, and that one, this vendor has a tendency to be on the high side, but it's come back at almost $12,000. We're hoping it'll be closer to $3,000 to $5,000. My question is there any way that the city could work with our owner? This is city property. The city has made improvements to the sidewalk in the past, including an ADA ramp on the southeast corner. So is there anything that the city could do to offer some sort of compensation to the owner or work with him for these improvements?
If we could have Stephen Pote with Development Engineering address that.
Hi, Stephen Pote with Development Engineering. So I would have to defer to the city engineer to see if there's anything we can do as far as reimbursement for that, but we can, is there any amendment we can make to the condition to?
Yeah, so we could add language to the end of condition number 5. So the condition would read, prior to commencing use, the applicant shall upgrade the pedestrian curb ramp at the corner of East Musser Street and North Valley Street to meet current ADA standards to the satisfaction of the city engineer. That would allow them to continue discussions with the city.
Okay. Is that all right with you, ma'am?
Yeah, we don't have a problem upgrading it. It was more the concern about cost. So I don't know if in discussions with you, I don't know what your satisfaction would be and how much that would cost.
Is there a schedule? I know, like, over in my neighborhood, they've been upgrading many of the corners and all that stuff. Is there a schedule that would fall into at some point or not?
There is a sidewalk and pedestrian ramp schedule. Typically, it's a pretty long time frame. I don't know if there's something they could do to put it on there and move it forward. Again, that would be up to the city engineer and the public works director to decide where that would, how that would play out.
So staff, how Should we go forward with this then? Can we pass it with that amendment, added amendment, or is there conditions we should put on? Or?
I believe we can make the amendment that I suggested. If there's additional amendments that the Planning Commission wants to consider, then we can consider those.
Any suggestions from any of the other commissioners?
I would just like a clarification. Is there currently any kind of accessibility modification to this building?
There is. I have pictures. Back in sometime between 2011 and 2015, a great amount of sidewalk work was done on the Mustard Street side and the west side, as well as an ADA ramp on the southeast corner of that property. So there is an ADA ramp onto that sidewalk.
And would that ADA ramp give access to this operation?
Yes, it would. They would have to go down the sidewalk to come up the ramp that is on the property to the building.
So doesn't that conform to ADA standards?
So the ramp in question is in the southwest corner. That's the one ramp on the frontage that currently is out of spec per the current ADA standards. And our practice has been in these situations when there's remodels or tenant improvements to require frontage improvements where any of the sidewalk or curb ramps don't meet.
So the existing ramp is out of compliance?
Correct, yeah.
But
too narrow? It's just an old ramp.
Wow. Preston?
Okay, so are we talking about the sidewalk to the curb, or are we talking about the ramp that's in front of the building?
I have pictures, if you want. Can I bring them up?
Yeah, so to answer your question, it's the sidewalk corner, so the curb ramp. It's what gives wheelchairs the ability to go from the sidewalk and cross the street.
Thank you, ma'am.
So the existing ramp, the existing ADA ramp, is in the south east corner of the property. The proposed ramp or subject parcel is on the southwest corner. And then the ramp that goes up to the building that is on the property is it's access off of that southwest sidewalk. So if somebody did need to use the ADA ramp to get onto the sidewalk, they would need to go down the sidewalk, traveling west, and then turn onto the ramp going up to the building.
This would have to be upgraded as soon as any changes made to the building up until then.
Correct. And we're just talking, me and the planners over there. This requirement is part of the development standards, so it would be required whether or not there was a special use permit. It's whenever there's a remodel, new construction, the requirements to do frontage improvements, sidewalk, curb, gutter, paving. Unless there is existing adequate infrastructure and the city doesn't consider sidewalk improvements that don't meet ADA standards to be adequate. So that's how that standard comes into effect.
I have a question.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. I think the most flexibility the staff can offer right now is the amended language that the associate planner offered. It allows for the continuation of a conversation. It allows for the details on timing and payment to be handled. We could remove the condition. It will still be required. I think it was included in the conditions to kind of flag it so that the applicant was aware of it, which obviously it succeeded and everyone's aware of it. But even if you were to drop it, it would still be required.
So we can pass it with the amendment, and if the applicant decides not to move forward, they can, for some reason, they don't have to move forward, correct? So I think that's the best we can do. Is that amenable at this time to you?
Yeah, at this time. Okay. Yes, thank you.
Any other public comment on this item? Seeing none, we'll bring it back for a motion or further discussion.
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Border.
Condition number 4 basically says they have 10 days to make a decision. If they feel like they can't do it, then they have 10 days. Should we extend that? I don't know that that's necessary because if we give them...
That's per code. Okay, thank you.
If we give them the ability to negotiate with the city engineer, as long as that negotiation's going on in good faith, I would assume that, you know, everything else could proceed. So I think the amendment would satisfy everybody's problem, and we could move on with this.
Thank you, sir.
And as such, I'll make that motion unless there's some other discussion.
Go forward.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move that we approve SUP 19-169 based on the findings and subject to the conditions of approval contained in the staff report, including the amendment to condition number 5 to add the language that was recommended.
We have a motion. Do we have a second? I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Next item, SUP-19-083-1 for possible action, discussion, and possible action regarding an amendment to a special use permit for outdoor storage to allow for personal storage within an enclosed building on property zoned general commercial and public regional located on the west side of Airport Road, south of Buddeye Way, APN 010-041-76. Hope.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In June 2019, the Planning Commission approved a special use permit for covered RV and boat storage for approximately 275 vehicles with a 1,000-square-foot sales office on the site. The subject property is, I have Heather's property up here, sorry. Let me get to the right property. There we go, on Airport Road. The applicant is now proposing to convert 4 of the carport-type buildings that were along the perimeter of the site into personal storage buildings for approximately 300 enclosed personal storage units. This will be approximately 61,000 square feet. In the summary, I said 30,000. It's 61,000, so I apologize for that error. The rear of the building will consist of masonry walls with a height of 8.5 feet. The walls will include a split-face masonry pier with an accent strip. A corrugated metal roof panel will be utilized in the front of the building, which will face the interior of the site, will utilize the metal wall panels with metal overhead doors. There will be no change in terms of access points, trip generation, drainage, or hours of operation. The special use permit's required because the site is split zoned. It's partially public regional and partially general commercial. And the personal storage is only allowed in the general commercial. So when you have a split zone property and a use is only allowed in one of the zoning districts, then the use may only establish in the entire zoning district on the entire parcel with a special use permit. As the Planning Commission knows, when you consider a special use permit, you're considering the 7 required findings of fact. Staff has reviewed the findings of fact in the staff report and has been able to make those findings in the affirmative. So staff is recommending approval. Mike Vix is present representing the applicant, and I'm happy to go more in detail on anything or answer any questions.
When we get to that point, do we need to reapprove the 22 conditions? Did any of them change, or is that still effective from the original?
I would like you to recommend the modification subject to the conditions of approval in the staff report. I have modified some of those conditions from the original approval. So, for example, 19 has been modified and 22 is a new requirement. So I would ask that you include those conditions.
Thank you. Questions for staff? Seeing none, would you state your name for the record, please, sir?
This is Mike Vix with Monta Vista Consulting, representing the applicant.
The 22 conditions of approval, or you meet your
yep,
needs?
We've read and agreed to those.
Any questions for the applicant? Seeing none, thank you. Public comment on this item. Is anyone from the public wish to come forward and make public comment on this item? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the commission for further discussion, a recommendation, or a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve SUP-19-083-1 to amend SUP-19-083 based on the findings and subject to the conditions of approval contained in the staff report.
We have a second. Commissioner Preston seconds. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? 7-0. Thank you. Moving on. SUP-18-111-1 for possible action, discussion, and possible action regarding amendment to a special use permit for Gaming Unlimited used to allow an increased building size, a modified facade, and a modified site plan on 0.98 acres zoning retail commercial located at 2811 South Carson Street, APN 009-112-25. Hope.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In August 2018, the Planning Commission authorized a special use permit for an unlimited gaming use in a sign that exceeded the height limit on the subject property. At that time, the applicant's intent was to utilize the 6,215-square-foot building for a gaming use. It's the Grandma Hattie's building. The applicant has performed internal demolition and found it's preferable to demolish the building given the structural characteristics of the building. The applicant is proposing to construct a new 9,050-square-foot building. Although the building is growing, the site plan is relatively unchanged with vehicular access from Sonoma Street and from the frontage road and the parking on the northeast and west sides of the building. The single-story building will utilize stucco with manufactured stone accents and metal roofing. The building access is from the northeast and west sides of the building. Hours of operation are proposed to be 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. I have added a condition from the original approval regarding no outdoor entertainment, and that was based on the public hearing you conducted in 2018, where we heard a lot from the neighbors to the east about potential conflicts with that residential area. I've also added a condition regarding the landscaping, as the new building will need to meet the existing landscape standards. If you just occupy an existing building, you don't have that same requirement. Gaming is a conditional use in the retail commercial zoning district and may only be established with a special use permit. The modification to the special use permit is handled the same as the special use permit. You need to be able to make the 7 required findings on the request for modification. Staff has reviewed those findings in the staff report, and we are recommending approval. Mike Rayleigh from Christie Engineering is present representing the applicant. I'm happy to go more in depth on anything and answer any questions. Thank you.
Questions for staff? Mr. Eschwein.
Actually, I'm going to ask the applicant. I really would just like to know how they get the extra 3,000 square feet in there and keep the same footprint.
I'm sorry, it's not the same footprint. It's the same site plan in terms of where the parking is and where the access points are. I didn't mean to indicate the footprint of the building would be the same.
Thank you.
Any other questions for staff? Would the applicant please come forward?
Good afternoon. For the record, Mike Rayleigh with Christie Corporation. Also with me is Scott Tate, the project applicant. We are in agreement with all the conditions and are here to answer any questions.
Any questions for the applicant? Seeing none, thank you. Public comment on this item. Anyone from the public wish to come forward and comment on this item? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the commission for further discussion or a motion.
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Borders.
I move to approve SUP-18-111-1, a request for an amendment to SUP-18-111, based on the findings and subject to conditions of approval contained in the staff report.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Commissioner Eschwein seconds. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Moving forward, E4, SUP-19-162, for possible action and discussion, and possible action regarding request for a special use permit to allow a 6-foot-tall wall within 5 feet of the property line on street side yard of the property's own multifamily apartment located at 150 East Rollins Street, 009-197-02.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I feel like this is Flashback Tuesday. Everything had something before. So, September 2019, the Board of Supervisors approved a tentative map on the subject property for a 51-unit condominium complex. The Planning Commission had approved a special use permit on that same condominium complex as well as recommended approval. This development is comprised of 17 buildings with 3 units in each building. The approval included a condition that as part of the building permit, the applicant must demonstrate that the fences and walls will comply with the provisions of Development Standards 1.3. What that development standard says is that site obscuring walls, so solid walls, located in the front yard, in this case that would be oak, or within 5 feet of the property line on the street side, which would be Roland, may not exceed 3 feet. The applicant's requesting the ability to have 6-foot fence, solid fences or walls on both Oak Street and Roland Street. The required setback on Oak Street is 10 feet. Along Oak, the applicant's proposing to locate the fence 1 foot behind the property line, which would be 9 feet behind the sidewalk. I will note if you are able to go to the site, the wrought iron fence on the neighboring property is 9 feet behind the sidewalk. Staff has recommended, in terms of Oak Street, condition number 10, which would require landscaping between the fence slash wall and the sidewalk. On Roland, the right-of-way, and you have a memo as late material from me, the applicant worked with development engineering and found that the right-of-way of Roland was wider than is necessary. It will still accommodate on-street parking, but we can eliminate or abandon a 5-foot strip of Roland. So with that, that would give the applicant the opportunity, if that 5-foot strip of Roland was abandoned, the applicant could then bump the fence back the required 5 feet on the street side and incorporate landscaping in between the sidewalk and the fence and soften the appearance. In my conversations with the applicant, after my staff report went out, the applicant said, Hope, I have to have that 6 feet for, you know, the privacy in the backyards. And it just struck me that 6 feet with single-family homes across the street on Roland was too stark. But I think if we can get 5-foot landscape strip with plantings at least 3 feet in height, it will soften it to an extent that staff can support it. So with that, I am recommending modifications, and this is in the memo I provided to you, to conditions 8 and 9, which would mandate that the applicant apply to abandon that 5-foot section of right-of-way along Roland Street. And then there's wording about the landscaping that would go between the sidewalk and that fence. The applicant also provided various types of fencing and walls options. The staff hasn't commented on that because I just feel that what's critical is that there be landscaping to obscure that fence or wall. And so I haven't made a recommendation on exactly what type of fence or wall should be utilized because I'm hoping you don't really notice it with all the landscaping. Having said that, if the commission has an opinion on that and feels like it's necessary to specify to make the required findings, I would suggest you do so. So with that, again, the development standards 1.13.7 say that when we have fences and a setback, they may be permitted in excess of the ordinance requirements upon approval of a special use permit. The Planning Commission has the authority to issue a special use permit upon making the 7 required findings in the affirmative. Staff has been able to make those findings in the affirmative with the supplemental memo that I've provided and the modifications to conditions 8 and 9. And I am recommending approval. I'm grateful that the applicant did find this sort of out-of-the-box solution by working with development engineering and finding that 5 feet, so while protecting the parking on the street, which I think was really important. I would not be supporting this if we lost the parking on the street. I'm happy to speak more specifically to anything. Rachel Kreider from RCI is here representing the applicant, and I'm happy to take questions.
Questions for staff. Commissioner Borders.
I have one. If I built a, it's a hypothetical, if I built a 3 or a 4 foot solid fence and put wrought iron on the top of it, and push it all the way up to the street, I don't think we solve anything. I think by pushing it back with the landscape almost negates what the fence is made of. And I think that's the point you were trying to make. Is that true?
That is the point I was trying to make. Thank you for articulating it.
And it also accomplishes giving the privacy to the yards that the other fence wouldn't accomplish.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you.
Other questions for staff? Commissioner Tingle.
So, correct me if I'm wrong. There is a RV repair shop to the north on Oak, right?
I have not noticed that use. There's a single family house and there's a vacant lot across the street on Oak.
Go ahead. Oh, okay. Okay. So then, never mind. Thank you.
Other questions for staff? Seeing none, oh, the applicant has come forward. Would you state your name for the record, please?
Rachel Kreider, Resource Concepts. I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
First of all, Ms. Kreider, you're comfortable with the or accepting the conditions with the amended conditions?
Correct.
Okay. Questions for the applicant? Commissioner Wiggins.
Yeah. How is the fencing on the north?
I'm not even looking at the mic. How is the northwest of this property lining up to the current development up there as far as this fencing? I think Hope talked about the 9 feet, but I saw that and I thought that was kind of nice, the 3 foot wrought iron on that and the setbacks. I'm just wondering how this development is meshing up with that existing one.
Sorry, you're asking what the transition would be?
Exactly.
You know, we haven't gotten to that fine of a detail yet, but we can look at that to make sure that it's, you know, a harmonious change. But, I mean, it's going to be a change regardless. So, you know, with the landscaping, that should soften it as well, because that's going to have landscaping in front of it also.
And the setback would be the same, right? Because they're both 9 feet basically behind.
Yes, we measured the wrought iron one and found it to be 9 feet behind the sidewalk. So the sidewalk will be built with this project and it should be consistent, a continuous sidewalk.
Any other questions for the applicant? It's Commissioner Doors.
I saw in here that, or maybe I heard too, that the purpose of it is this is going to add privacy for the backyards of some of these units, right?
Correct. Yeah, there are 10 units that have private little backyards that back up to Roland Street.
So that was my question. These will actually be the back wall of the yard.
Correct.
Okay.
Any other questions for the applicant? Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you.
Before I, in opening it for public comment, we did receive one letter from Ms. Maria DeFer that was questioning the fence makeup, et cetera, and preferring to have vegetative or landscape or whatever. I just wanted to make that in case that person is not present. We'll open up for any comments from the public now. Is there two? Okay. I'm sorry. Commissioner Preston, I couldn't see the other one.
No, that's the Stafford Way. This is the Stafford Way.
No, there's just the one letter as far as I'm aware. And no other comments from the public. We'll bring it back for discussion or a motion. Commissioner Borders.
Mr. Chairman, I have one question for staff first. On the abandonment of that right-of-way, is that an issue that will come back to us also?
Yes, it will.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move to approve SUP 19-162. Based on the ability to make the required findings and subject to the conditions of approval, including the amendments provided by staff in their late material.
We have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
Commissioner Tingle seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Moving forward, E5, SUP-19-164 for possible action, discussion, and possible action regarding request for a special use permit for a residential use in a non-residential zoning district to construct 126 apartment units on 6.13-acre parcel zone neighborhood business located on the south side of Little Lane, west of Janice Way, APN 004-015-06.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry, the disclosures.
Commissioner Doors, for the record, NRS 281A.420 requires me to disclose a conflict of interest and abstain from voting if I have a disqualifying conflict. In my private commitment, I am the owner of a business, Superior Door and Window. In that capacity, my business is bidding on part of the project for one of the potential contractors of this item. Because of the significant pecuniary interest and my company's status as a bidder of the project, I feel that the judgment of a reasonable person in this situation may be materially affected. Therefore, I believe I have a disqualifying conflict, and I will not be voting on this matter.
Thank you, Commissioner Doors. Commissioner Preston.
NRS 281A.420 requires me to disclose conflict of interest and abstain from voting if I have a disqualifying conflict. In my private commitment, I'm a commercial real estate agent for Coldwell Banker Select, and I occasionally have co-listings with Barbara Rainey, who is also an agent with Coldwell Banker Select and is the agent for the applicant on this item. We're both independent contractors working under the Coldwell Banker Select umbrella, but we do not share offices or staff. I do not have a co-listing on this project, nor will I receive any compensation or profit sharing as a result of this item, and I have no input or authority over the project. I'm making this disclosure in the best interest of transparency, and I believe that a reasonable person in my position would not be materially affected by this relationship with Ms. Rainey. Therefore, I do not have a disqualifying conflict, and I will be voting on this matter.
Thank you, Commissioner Preston.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Hope Sullivan, Planning Manager. The applicant is proposing a 126-unit apartment complex on property zone neighborhood business. The complex is proposed to consist of 42 one-bedroom units and 84 two-bedroom units in 11 buildings. The site amenities include a swimming pool, a clubhouse, and a sports court. And here, this is in your packet, but this is a close-up of the area which will have the swimming pool and the sports courts. The site includes 39,220 square feet of open space, including patios and balconies. Access is proposed from Little Lane and from Jana Way. Building materials will be the walls utilizing the exterior insulation finish system and a hardy plank lap siding with the hardy plank wood grain lap siding accent. The roof will be an architectural grade asphalt shingle. Multifamily dwellings are conditional use in the neighborhood business zoning district and may only be established upon approval of a special use permit by the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission may approve a special use permit upon making the 7 required findings of fact in the affirmative. Staff has reviewed each of the findings against this proposal, and we have been able to make those findings in the affirmative. The staff is recommending approval. I'm happy to go into detail on any of more of the project or any of the findings for the benefit of the commission. Terry Novak, the project's architect, is present and representing the applicant. Thank you.
There's a lot of things happening on Little Way at this time. Quite a change over a year ago or so. Any questions for staff? Commissioner Tingle.
On item number, recommended condition of approval number 18, there will be fill brought in to mitigate the flood zone. And so I guess my question is, so FEMA has to come in and do an assessment once the fill has been brought in to make sure there will not be any impact on surrounding areas in the event of, like, we get rain?
This is Stephen Pote, Development Engineering. So the process is that the applicant actually does an analysis of the flood zone with the proposed changes, and then we submit that. Actually, our chief stormwater engineer reviews that, and then when we're content with that, it would be submitted to FEMA and then it wouldn't actually be constructed until that point, once everybody's content with the design.
Any other questions for staff? Yeah. No problem. Mr. Tingle.
So engineering, the engineering division has item number 5, the traffic impact study must be updated to demonstrate that baseline volumes are comparable with volumes from Campos travel demand model. I'm wondering about the intersection of Solomon and Little Lane. That street gets a lot of traffic, and that is just north of the school. And right now it's just stop sign controlled. There's no traffic signal. So I'm wondering about what is going to be, is there going to be a study done in theory about traffic?
So since that condition was written, the applicant's traffic engineer has been corresponding with our transportation department. We're closer, we're not there yet, so we want that condition to stand. So what we're essentially saying with that is the traffic engineer did counts to say what the existing traffic is and what they're going to add to it. And we're saying we want to compare that to our models to make sure that those numbers are good. And then, so there is the potential that there will be more traffic added to that intersection than what the study currently shows. So in that situation, the impact study would have to be updated. And then if it causes the intersection to have a level of service that's failing, so below D, then that would require mitigation to bring that level of service back into that, and that would be with the project.
Would that also include we just approved the housing across the street down towards the school and the existing buildings that are going up, so all that, would they share in that if that was needed, or would that, how would that work?
So, and Dirk with the transportation department's here, so their study does include the volume from that recently approved project. That project, if that intersection were to fail, they would not be required to participate in that mitigation since they're already entitled. It would only be the project in question.
So the last,
if you want to add.
So the last one in then would be the one that has to take. Okay, thank you.
And one last thing, it does not have to do with transportation. It has to do with the school district comment about for every 100 new homes, we expect about 30 new students. We are doing our utmost to prepare for growth within our means. What does...
I reached out to the school district, and they indicated for this project and the next one that's later in this application, in this meeting rather, that they wanted to use the statement they had previously provided. We do have more projects coming in December. I think things are changing on the school front. We've just, from what I read in the newspaper, and so I will circle back to them and solicit more comments from them for upcoming projects, but at this point they requested that I utilize the comments they had previously provided, which that is that comment.
And didn't Fremont just went through some additions and changes to their school, trying to adjust for more students as well, I believe, just recently. So.
Eagle Valley's.
Right, and Eagle Valley's looking to do so now. So. Any more questions for staff? Would the applicant like to come forward?
Mr. Clark, who's our applicant, is coming with Mr. Novak, who's the architect.
Afternoon, I'm Terry Novak, the architect. And
please.
Chris Clark, the developer.
Okay. First of all, you're agreeable with the 25 conditions of approval?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any questions? Would you like to add anything to staff's presentation?
No, ma'am. Or no, sir.
Any questions for the applicant? Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you.
Public comment. At this time, we'll open it for public comment. Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, let's bring it back for further discussion or a motion.
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Border.
I move to recommend approval of SUP 19-164 based on the ability to make the required findings and subject to the conditions of approval contained in the staff report.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Commissioner Wiggins seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And Commissioner Doors is abstaining. Motion carries. Good luck. Thank you.
Yeah, he's not present.
Right.
Oh, now he's back.
Okay. Put that in there.
Did you go get us a McDonald's or something?
Item E6, AB-19-168 for possible action. Discussion and possible action regarding request for an abandonment of public right-of-way, specifically a portion of Lamont Drive, beginning at the rear property line of 3493 Arrowhead Drive, APN 005-052-03, and 3505 Arrowhead Drive, APN 005-053-03, and extending to approximately the eastern property line of 3321 Lamont Drive, APN 005-053-12. Staff?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The applicant is seeking to abandon a portion of Lamont Drive. Lamont is a horseshoe-shaped road, and the applicant is seeking to abandon the middle of it. Staff is recommending that prior to approval of this abandonment, the applicant dedicate right-of-way or public access easements to accommodate what I'm calling bulbs at the end of what will be stubs so that we have fire truck turnarounds. So essentially you'll end up with two cul-de-sacs instead of two dead-end streets with no turnarounds. The bulbs would need to be designed to meet local street standards and fire code requirements. The dedication, the improvements of these bulbs should be completed prior to the recordation of this abandonment. So the staff is supportive of this abandonment, but we think we need some street improvements before we can actually abandon the road to accommodate these turnarounds. The Board of Supervisors is authorized to abandon the right-of-way. The Planning Commission makes a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors based on the 7 required findings. The staff can make these findings in the affirmative, and we are recommending approval subject to conditions. Derek Wilson is here from Rubicon Group to represent the applicant. I'm happy to speak more in depth on anything or answer any questions. Thank you.
Questions for staff. Commissioner Borders.
Is this the airport? Is this in the airport zone?
It's adjacent to the airport. I need to double check the zoning. I think it's GI zoning, general okay. industrial.
That's right. Are there going to be two Lamont streets? Are there going to be two Lamont streets?
No, we'll need to rename one, or we'll likely rename one of them.
Okay,
one of them is
just... That's the city's purview and not the applicant.
Correct.
All right. Condition number 5. Can you explain to me what station 12, 13.81, 16, 17, and 17.57 are?
This is Stephen with Development Engineering. So that is referring to the stationing and the construction drawings for the construction of that southern portion of Lamont Road. When they constructed that and put in a new water main, there was a few little odds and ends that didn't get finished.
Okay.
So that's what that is.
That's all I got.
Other questions for staff? Seeing none, would the applicant come forward, please? State your name for the record, sir, please.
Good afternoon. Derek Wilson with Rubicon Design Group.
Is the green light on the mic? Hit the little button in front.
There we go.
There you go.
Derek Wilson with Rubicon Design Group. Good afternoon. Thank you. We are in agreement with staff's review. I think they've done a very thorough job. Just wanted to clarify two quick items. One, everything proposed for abandonment is unbuilt now. It's not in use. So it won't change any existing access patterns. Two, some of those items in condition five are already being addressed by the applicant. So they're very serious about being good stewards of this site. That's all I have.
And you accept the all 11 conditions?
Yes.
Okay. Any questions for the applicant? Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, I'll bring it back. Bring it back for a recommendation or a motion. Further discussion? I'll go ahead and make a motion. I move to recommend that the Board of Supervisors approve AB-19-168 based on the 7 findings and subject to the conditions of approval contained in the staff report. We have a second?
I'll second.
Mr. Borders seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Next item, B7, for possible action, discussing possible action.
Excuse me. Again, E7, SUP-19-177, for possible action. Discussion and possible action regarding requests for a special use permit for a residential use in a non-residential zoning district to construct 12 apartment units on a 0.63-acre parcel zone neighborhood business plan unit development, MB-P, located on the southeast corner of Stafford Way and Silver Sage Drive, APN 009-563-07. Hope.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As the chair said, the applicant is proposing a 12-unit apartment complex consisting of three four-unit buildings. Each building will be two stories with two units on each floor. Each unit will have a one-car garage, and there will be 27 parking spaces on site, which equates to 2.25 spaces per unit. The requirement is 2 spaces per unit, so they will provide more parking than is required. There is on-street parking on Stafford Way. The applicant is proposing access exclusively from Stafford Way, although the staff is recommending right turn only access onto Silver Sage Drive as well. So whereas the plans are showing a single point of access, the staff is recommending that there be an additional access but right turn only onto Silver Sage Drive. Multifamily dwellings are a conditional use in the neighborhood business zoning district. Therefore, the use may only establish upon the Planning Commission approving the special use permit, which would require the Planning Commission to make the 7 required findings in the affirmative. The subject property is a corner lot with office uses to the north and to the west. To the east and the south are what are called townhouses. If you are able to drive through there, they look like duplexes. Silver Sage is a collector roadway. We have received letters, and they're in your packet, opposing this project. There are concerns about the, and I'm leaving this slide up just to give context of the neighborhood. The opposition is concerned about the parking in the neighborhood to the east, driving through the neighborhood to the east, and the massing of these two-story buildings. I want to speak about 2 of the 7 findings. Finding number 1 addresses consistency with the master plan. The master plan designation for this property is high density residential. So the master plan contemplated this being something that was intended to create an opportunity for higher density neighborhoods. So this proposal is consistent with that master plan designation. Finding 2 talks about whether or not a use will be detrimental to a neighborhood. Staff believes, given the residential uses going east of Silver Sage, and particularly to the south and to the east of the subject property, that a residential use is preferable to a non-residential use. Residential uses, you tend to have similar hours. You go to bed at night, you wake up in the morning, you know, you have the same times of activity. Whereas if you have a non-residential use, you could have a lot of activity, say, on a weekend when you're expecting quiet in the neighborhood and so on. In terms of parking and traffic to the east, as I mentioned, the applicant is providing more parking than required. The requirement is 2 parking spaces per unit when you have on-street parking adjacent, which they do on Stafford Way. The applicant is providing 2.25 spaces per unit. One is a garage, the other is a surface parking space. The applicant, or there was also concern about traffic in east of this project and driving and walking through those neighborhoods. Those are private roadways. They don't provide for on-street parking. In looking at this, at the map, you'll see you have Silver Sage is a collector roadway that would connect to the directory would, for most, I would think, would be north on Silver Sage, west on Sonoma, and then you're on Carson Street. I don't know where you get to if you drive to the east. So I don't anticipate a lot of traffic going easterly because there's not a destination if you go easterly. We've talked before when we looked at apartments about crime. And there was a letter which expressed concern about crime. In conversations with the sheriff's office, the top five places where the sheriff gets called to when they look at their call logs are non-residential sites. Residential sites are not the top calls for our sheriff's office. The building is allowed to be 26 feet based on the zoning, so any building that went there by right has the right to be 26 feet. The applicant is proposing a building that's 26 feet tall. Staff has reviewed all the required findings, and we are making the findings in the affirmative subject to some conditions, and I think the condition regarding the additional access, vehicular access way onto Silver Sage with a right turn only is really important to make sure that we're not directing every single vehicle onto Stafford Way. But staff, with these conditions of approval, is recommending approval of this special use permit. I'm happy to answer any questions, and Jeff Prashoda, who's the applicant, and his team are present. And with that, I'll stop.
So hope they'll come out of the complex and make a right turn on Silver Sage. Also, heading north on Silver Sage, they'd be able to right turn into the complex as well, correct?
Yes, but if they turn, they could then turn. Oh, the right turn only?
No,
it would be an exit only. It wouldn't allow for access into the complex.
Because my mother at one time lived right across the street from that on Travis in the first duplex. And a lot of people go that way off Silver Sage to avoid the stop sign further down, and they come out by Sonoma Park, or they're going to the park. They use that a lot. That Silver Sage area is a very busy area down through that strip. So anyway, that's my only concern. Again, coming up to that stop sign, if you're going to make a left off Stafford, how far are these apartments going to be to block view going down Stafford? I know just a couple weeks ago somebody hit the back of the kitchen realty coming up the other way. So anyway, that's my only concern. Any other questions for staff?
Yeah. I have a question. Excuse me. On the major project review comments, 6A, I'm a little confused. I want to be clear on it. It's two sentences. Second one is for projects of 10 or more units, so that applies here. Areas of common open space may only include contiguous landscaped areas with no dimension less than 15 feet and a minimum of 100 square feet per unit of the common open space area must be designed for recreation, which may include but not be limited to, and then it lists a few things. Then it says, including play equipment and trees with no dimension less than 25 feet. So am I to understand that on with 10 or more units, they need no dimension less than 25 feet, or is it 15 feet?
There are two different standards in there. One of them for the recreational area, which I think is 100 square feet per unit, it's no dimension less than 25 linear feet. Then you keep reading, and it talks about the balance of the open space requirement. And I think you were in the section, I didn't catch up with you as you were reading, but I think you were in the section where it could be private or common open space. And it's 100 square feet per unit. And in that one, it's no dimension under less than 15. And I'm looking for the condition of approval in your staff report where I've requested a diagram. It's number 5, I believe. I write, as part of the building permit application, the applicant shall submit an updated open space exhibit demonstrating compliance with section 1.18.6 And it should say of the development standards, which is what you just read. Because based on what's submitted, they've advised me of what their open space number is, but they haven't demonstrated compliance with those specific standards. And I typically actually request from applicants an open space diagram, because what you just read, you can see how specific it is. So I have to look and make sure each of those requirements have been met.
Okay, yeah, the reason I ask is later in their actual packet, they say no, they volunteer the information that no dimension will be under 15 feet. And it looked, I just couldn't determine in this, with this application, if it's 15 or 25. But it sounds like with the, I didn't really put it together with condition 5, it doesn't matter, whatever it is will have to be met.
I think it's good that you read that out, because it shows that there's sort of three categories when we look at the open space requirements. And so it's really important. Anytime I have a residential project, I'm always asking for this diagram so they can show me exactly how they're meeting these requirements. So I think it's helpful to hear what it's comprised of.
Hope with the fact that the areas are both east and north have no parking on their streets. The parking in this, is that just all going to be street parking, or does that include driveways, or what's, how does that figure?
The on-site parking will be comprised of the parking spaces, and I have the site plan right up right now, so it's essentially a parking lot, and it will also have one-car garages for each unit. So it'll be a mix of one-car garages and surface parking on-site. And, again, the requirement is two parking spaces per unit, and they are meeting that. They're actually exceeding that requirement.
Is there sufficient room in the driveways if you had two cars and not use the parking lot to put one in the garage and park in front of your apartment?
I'll have the applicant speak specifically to that. I don't believe that's the design intent. I believe the garages are there, but the intent isn't to park in front of the garage door.
So a couple with two cars, one would park in the garage and one would park in the parking lot. Okay.
That's my understanding, but I would ask that the applicant verify that.
Any other questions for staff? Mr. Borders.
The previous review, is that the same applicant? The MPR 18-187 for a 12-unit?
Yes, it is the same applicant. When you have multifamily residential projects, you're required to go through what's called a major project review process, and that's just a staff review, essentially. So the applicant did go through that review, but because of the zoning, they have to get a special use permit.
No other questions for staff? Commissioner Wiggins.
Yeah, just related to that right turn only parking.
Related to the right turn only, why right turn only and not left turn to try and avoid more traffic on Stafford Way?
This is Steven with Development Engineering. So originally they were not proposing an exit at that location because of existing utilities. So there's a pretty narrow window to be able to get cars in and out. And then the reason we went with right only onto Silver Sage is just because it reduces the number of turning conflicts. It's quicker, easier to get cars out onto that street.
And a follow-up on that, like I had asked, if you could then, coming down Silver Sage, make a right in, but it's going to be awful close to then Stafford's intersection, so that's probably why you don't want to have it there as well, because they'd be stopping just prior.
Well, Commissioner Dorsey, for the record, I think that was I was going to ask the same question, if it was right turn in or if it was only out, and I think to that point, out. I was going to recommend only out anyways. I've been in a couple little neighborhoods very similar to this kind of recently, actually, and I think that just the traffic coming in off Silver Sage might just zip right in there, and it seems a little bit dangerous. I think, personally, I think out only makes the most sense.
Also, the fire department needed the extra out at that location, too.
Any other questions for staff? Would the applicant come forward, please? Please state your names for the record.
Christopher Moltz. I'm a Stanga Consulting Engineer.
It's got to be green on the base. There you go.
Sorry.
Christopher Moltz. I'm with Stanka Consulting Engineering.
I don't see the light. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Jeff Pishoda. I'm the applicant.
Okay.
And I'm Mark Johnson. I also work with Stanka Consulting.
All right. Appreciate it. First of all, do you agree with the 21 conditions of approval?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Questions for the applicant? Commissioner Borders.
On the boundary of the property and Heaton Way, is there a fence or some kind of a something there? What do you propose to put there?
So if you look at the site plan, the apartments on the right side that are touching Heaton Way have private backyards. It is proposed that those will have fences. The exact type and height of fence has not been determined, but that so they have private backyards. In between the apartments against that sidewalk, we're not proposing any private fence at this time. It's just going to be landscaping.
So you can get to Heaton Way from the complex?
There's no direct access. There's no walkway. If it's desired by the HOA to have that fence off, we can modify the plans to do that.
I think since that's a private street, I think the HOA might feel really better about having a barricade of some sort there to keep people off of their street.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, whatever that is, and maybe that's a subject you and the HOA have, but it just looks like you could solve yourselves a whole lot of problems if you recognize that that's a private street and you want to keep it that way.
Private street that there's.
I approached the HOA. I had requested a formal meeting, which I did at Lynn Colley Real Estate about a year and a half ago. Which at that time they had no interest whatsoever in participating in any kind of access. Me participating in their HOA as far as paying a monthly fee to help maintain that section of Heaton Way. There was no interest whatsoever. They denied me that.
Thank you. Other questions for the app, Commissioner Doors?
The trash area, it struck me as rather small. Is that going to be enough? I mean, is that going to support, regardless of whether it'll be enough, that trash area is going to support all 12 units worth of trash. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. We were planning cans, so just cans is not going to be a large trash receptacle. It's going to be standard.
So 12 cans stored in the...
Not 12. It's going to be less than 12, but it's going to be just however many cans fit, I guess.
We'll have to look at that. We'll do if a dumpster is required, we'll put a dumpster in, but we're trying to limit the noise there. You know.
Well, yeah. I don't know how to... There's studies or anything about that. It just doesn't seem like much for 12 apartments. So that's one thing that struck me.
And would trash pick up? I mean, they wouldn't come into the complex, would they? And pick up? Would the same canisters be put on the street? Would they utilize those as well?
I'm sure they would.
Okay. Other questions for the applicant? Seeing none. Would you like to add anything more to staff's presentation?
No, not at this time.
Yes. Do you have an image of the proposed layout for the apartment? Kind of so you can better show, or maybe the elevations? Okay. Anyway, if you have the packet, we have proposed elevations, and each apartment...
Hold on for a sec.
The front of each apartment will have a private garage door. There will also be a side access door to each garage, which will also be private. But that is part of the width of the apartment. And so when you see that pad, there is a 20-foot deep garage on the lower level. And that's why you have the two different sized apartments. So you have 12 interior private parking spaces, and then you have 12 assigned outside, uncovered, and then you have 3 guest parking, which will not have numbers. That would be assigned guests.
So obviously there won't be a driveway to speak of. They'll pull right into their garage.
That's correct.
Very close.
And there, to answer your question earlier, there's no room for parking outside of the parking spaces or outside of the garages.
So you have three guest parking places?
Yes, we're just not numbering those, and those are going to be considered guest parking spaces.
So if somebody moved in with two cars and a boat or motorhome or three cars, I mean, how do you think?
If they have a boat or motorhome, they're going to have to pay for storage somewhere.
But their third vehicle, they're only going to allow two paces for each, no
yes.
matter what.
Yes, and that's going to be in the rental terms.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. Other questions for the applicant? Seeing none, appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll open it for public comment on this item. There's a gentleman coming up behind you first. I think we'll have quite a few bit of public comment here. If you'd be so kind when you sit down is to sign your name, and there should be a sheet there with a pen just to your right. Okay. Would you be kind enough to sign in, sir, and then state your name for us?
I'll sign.
Yes, please. And then state your name for the record, too, sir, please.
Pardon?
Would you state your name for the record?
Yes. My name is Carl Bolton.
Thank you.
I'm the president of the Homeowners Association that's adjacent to this development on the south and the east portion. Historically, this whole area is completely surrounding this unit, a single level. Both commercial and residential. The proposal to build two-story units is least to say objectionable. There's never enough parking spaces in an apartment complex. I don't care if you have 20, you'll need 25. The problem here is Stafford. The distance that they can park on both sides will only allow for maybe six or seven cars. It's hard to believe that they could build that and say that we will not have cars on the street. I don't know. We have cars on the street, but we have a large street in our complex. The difference between the existing development being single story and this one being two stories, right in the middle. Right in the middle. So we're not objecting to the development, because that lot's been sitting there forever. So for them to develop it is fine, but keep it at single-story level. Two stories in the middle. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Next. Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm concerned about the...
Would you please state your name for the record?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
My name is William Reinbold, and I live at 581 Stafford Way. And we're concerned about the traffic and the parking in a two-story apartment in a completely residential area. And I don't think it's conducive to that part of our neighborhood. And I'm really concerned about that. And all the traffic and the extra parking one way going south, or north rather, on Silver Sage, and it just don't make sense. That I have no objection, or I'm sure most of the neighborhood doesn't, for single residential area, single family units. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. There you go.
Okay. Am I on?
State your name okay. For the record, please.
Hi, my name is Kathleen St. Clair.
Thank you.
I live at 3128 Heaton Way. I'm here today to speak in opposition to this proposed project. I, too, am concerned very much about the traffic and about the parking on Heaton Way. Since it's a private street, I'm afraid that people will start parking on that street. It doesn't have any room for that. And so that's why I'm here today, to speak in opposition. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Come forward. Ma'am, trying to come forward for a while. You'll be next.
That's okay.
Thank you, ma'am.
She can sit there and fill out the paperwork.
Yeah.
Oh, there. Okay, done. My name is Catherine Bourdain. I own two units on Heaton, and one of the reasons I bought those two units was because of the beautiful view of the mountains. Two-story is going to totally obstruct that view. I oppose it for that reason, but not only that reason. All homes in that area are single-family. I don't want a high transient, packed in group across from where I live. Kids would be playing on the street on Stafford and on Heaton. We're looking at increased injuries and accidents because of playing. The play space that they have mentioned is very small. It's not going to be nearly enough. So kids being kids, you're going to go where they have room to play basketball and soccer and so forth, which is going to be the street. All buildings facing that lot on all four sides are single story. There is no two story there. The two story would not fit in at all with the design. It would not blend in with the current buildings. It would be a complete eyesore. It would stand out like a sore thumb. So also, some residents on Heaton never received this notice. I had to go around to neighbors and tell them about it. I happened to see somebody on Doubleday who is directly affected by this. They were never notified. There are a lot of people who are working who couldn't be here. So you're not hearing from everybody who's opposed to this. Only a few people like me are retired and are very, very, very opposed to this. The company working to request this permit is not located in Carson. They're in Gardnerville. Therefore, their only interest is financial. They don't care what happens. They don't care what happens to this neighborhood. I do. And I don't want it there. I strongly oppose this proposal for a special use permit. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Next.
Mom?
Yes.
Hi, I'm Sandy Steven. I live on the Heaton Way. I've been there for 13 years,
and it's a very nice community. I'm really opposed. I always knew someday that they'd build there, and that's fine. But two-story is probably out of the question. You're going to put, you know, three large buildings in all single-story area. We have businesses there, but they're done very tastefully. You know, everything goes together. And other than the fact that let them build, but please no two-story. Again, there's going to be traffic, a bad traffic problem for us. So if you take us into consideration, we'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Other public comment? You want it green.
Okay.
Hit the button again. I think it's, there you go. State your name for the record, please.
Are we okay? There we go. Okay. My name is Don Fox, FOX. I'm also, we live at 3127 Heaton Way. And I'm speaking on behalf of my wife, who owns the complex that we're in. Okay. I'm absolutely 100% against this project, not against anyone developing, because all of these places over there, they're all the same. They're single dwelling units. And we're talking about on that 0.60 acres, just down the street on Travis. A few years ago, we had another complex. They built the same thing that all of us have over there. You know, fits in perfectly. And you're talking about on a complex like that, you're talking about 2, 4, 6, 8, possibly as little as 8 people with possibly maybe 4 cars, you know, maybe more. If everybody's got 2, you know, like my wife and I, you're talking about maybe, you know, 8 cars, 12 units, 2 stories. Losing the view that we have in ours, we're next to Kitty that was here earlier. Losing the view, yes, I would hate to see that happen. But to bring in 12 units with possibly, I mean, we're talking at least 24 people, maybe a lot more if we're talking families. We're talking a whole lot more cars. And Silver Sage is already busy. I mean, busy. I mean, there's times when I've got to wait out there for a while. Not that I'm going anywhere, you know, but we have a lot more complexes that are coming in, you know, down the street. Going to add a lot more traffic in there. But, again, I'm not against. I've been in construction. I'm still involved. Been 57 years in. I know all about developments and what people want to do, et cetera. And I don't blame them for wanting to do what they want to do. It's, you know, going to be a lot of money to be made. But I don't think it should be at our expense. You know, we have a beautiful neighborhood. It's really quiet there, spring, summer, early fall. I can go out at 10, 11 o'clock at night and walk everywhere around there and not have to worry about being attacked, unless it might be a loose dog, you know, might get away. But and that goes along with Kenny Furlong, what he's done for our city. You know, we have one of the safest cities, you know, in the U.S. But our area there is... And I run into people that night, you know, there. Some of them are not here because of earlier testimony here. We were not notified. We did not know. And I know Lynn Cauley. I've known her for a long, long, long time, but we were never notified about this because we would have been there, and I would have been in her office, which is in Garnerville, and I would have had a little talk with her about this. So anyhow, I could go on and on and on, but we are absolutely against this project. Garbage is going to be another item.
Yeah.
And we are on private streets, and we do have problems at times, you know, when where's people going to park? And that's the other added thing there. When you have that many vehicles already and they're inviting family over, et cetera, where are they going to park? They're going to come on our streets. All the streets in that neighborhood over there are all private streets. And we have to adhere to that. I mean, I can't park in the little spots that we do have for people who come to visit. It says right on there, you know, not for residents, for visitors only. So, you know, those are going to go away. Anyhow, I don't want to take up any more time. God bless you all. And thank you for letting me have this time to speak. And I hope you look and see what we're up against here.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Other public comments?
My name is Gene Callhart.
Oh, please.
Okay. My name is Gene Callhart. I live at 3123 Heaton Way. And since we didn't see any drawings of the actual buildings, I am concerned that there's not going to be windows on the Heaton side of this complex, so that they're looking down on Heaton Way. Is that the way things are going to be?
Go ahead and make your statements and ask your questions.
I would like to know if that's...
But we will address it when everyone's done speaking. We'll respond to all the questions. Thank you. Other public comment? Seeing none, I'll bring it back. A couple things I'd like to comment on. A couple people mentioned notification. There are requirements to notify. 88 properties were notified. Anyone living within 100 yards of that property would have been notified. And that's how the city requirements go for a project like that. They mentioned parking spaces. The applicant mentioned that there will be two spaces. It's part of the lease agreement. They only get two cars. They can't have any more cars than that. One thing I'm a little concerned about, the entrance is going to be on Stafford. As I said, my mother lived in the second duplex right between Stafford and Silver Sage on Travis. So I parked out on Stafford, and there's room for like two cars there before you hit the Kitchen Realty, that little development. On the other side, you're going to have your entrance, and you can't park too close. There's a mailbox also there, so... There's not a lot, going to be a lot of room right around that complex. They're going to have to go further down Stafford to park in order to come in. I'm very concerned about three parking spaces for guest parking is all that's available. And the two-story issue, I have difficulty with that as well. But any other comments from...
Mr. Chair, could I answer the question, please? The gentleman asked if the elevations included essentially second-story windows facing Heaton Way, and the answer is yes, it does. And the back table is the late material on this in the binder, and there are pictures of the elevations in that binder for the public.
Other comments from Commissioner Eschwein?
I have a question for staff. This is a commercial district. What's the maximum building height in a commercial district?
It's 26 feet, and they're proposing 26 feet.
Thank you.
Commissioner Doors?
To kind of piggyback on that, I was reading about the zoning, and it's neighborhood business specific currently, right?
And correct.
So I pulled out Title 18, and I looked, and there's just a variety of different things that could be put there, it looks like, without anybody coming in here, without having to go in front of us. One of them that stood out is an automobile service, including automobile gas with minor maintenance and repair service. So if, let's say, a Shell station or something bought that property, they could build a two-story gas station there, and we would never have to be here looking at it. Is that correct?
I would need to verify you read code correctly, but assuming it's an allowed use, yes. So if I can just kind of give framework on the comment you made, and I'm happy to pull my code and give the commission examples of allowed uses in the neighborhood business zoning district. But essentially, with every single zoning district, you have certain uses that are allowed. This commission never sees those. Those go right to building permit, and that's what Commissioner Doors is suggesting. There's not a public hearing. They just get a building permit, and one day they're building. Then there are certain uses that are conditional uses. Those uses need a special use permit. And so this is a use that needs a special use permit. So that's our use category. Then when we talk about zoning, we talk about our dimensional criteria. So that goes to Commissioner Eswine's question, how tall can a building be? The zoning allows a building to be 26 feet tall. So if we had one of those uses that just got to go get a building permit, it could technically just build at 26 feet, and there is no public hearing. If the commission would like, I'm happy to go through the allowable uses.
Unless the rest of the commission, that satisfies that question. I do have one more, though. So back to the trash thing, I kind of struck me, you know, we were talking about the trash trucks not coming into the unit. They would. Okay, I thought the answer was that they wouldn't come into the unit. Okay, well, that alleviates the next part, so thank you.
And again, there was also a couple comments about view, and we can control and discuss and a lot of things. My 9 years on this commission, the only way you can protect a view is own the property that you're looking over. I mean, anybody can come in that owns that property and can do whatever they want with it. So although views are nice to have, there's no guarantee on adjacent property to you that your view isn't going to be blocked. So that's really not an issue. But just if you look at that whole area all around Travis and even across going west across Silver Sage, the commercial buildings are brick and one story, and everything is one story. Everything around that area is one story. And therefore, this two-story, I can see the objections of the people not wanting a two-story in that area. Looking at the conditions of approval, or our number two and number three, I think, are both a little bit, that will have little or no detrimental effect on vehicle or pedestrian traffic. That one, I think, is going to be hard to convince me of, and will it not be detrimental to the use, peaceful enjoyment, economic value, or development surrounding properties? That's kind of questionable. So that's just comments from me.
I have a few observations. One is I hear a lot about the private streets and the chance that people are going to park on those. Well, the solution to that is to tow a car that isn't supposed to be there. People are going to learn pretty quickly that they're not going to park there. The other observation is I drove around this neighborhood, and I noticed that there were any number of duplexes and any number of two-story units in this immediate neighborhood. There's even an apartment complex on Travis Street. I don't see how, I understand people don't want to have new development in their backyard, but you know, this is a permitted use with a special use permit. And, you know, the traffic is going to be dealt with by the city engineer's office. The design that I see looks like it's going to be compatible with all the other development that's happened in this neighborhood.
Thank you. Other comments? Commissioner Tingle?
Just my standard affordable housing comment, since this is multifamily luxury apartments that would preclude that from being affordable for the average income in Carson City, which, again, I don't think has increased much from $57,000 annually. So, depending on what the rent is for these luxury apartments, I just think that, again, we're not addressing the elephant in the room of affordability. That's my comment.
I appreciate that, but as we've said before, that's really not in our control to tell a developer what he has to put in affordability-wise or whatever. And they are working on that in some other areas of town, thank goodness. Yes. Commissioner Preston.
I look at it from a different point of view, is that any time that we can get an infill project to bring in additional housing that is rental housing, that I think it'll make things more affordable. And so when I look at this, this looks like an infill project. I've watched the space for a long time, and it has not served any purpose, but for the opportunity to be able to put 12 residential units in there, and they're not big. One of them is 950, and they're 950 on the bottom and a little bit over 1,000 on the top. Those are not huge units. And this actually, to me, with my experience in residential rentals right now, this would qualify for some of your affordable. And so for that, you know, I see it as a plus in this neighborhood. And I agree, there are houses in this area. When you look at the whole area, it's not just single-family houses. It's multifamily houses. There's been additions put onto these properties. And unfortunately, the last commercial development that was put in there was across the street, which was Windridge, which is dated prior to 2000. So this is something that can actually be attractive for this neighborhood. So thank you.
Appreciate that. Other comments from Commissioner Doors?
I got one more. Commissioner Doors, just for the record, I started looking at this and was pretty much against it. I think the area is highly traveled along Silver Sage or Roop or whatever you want to call it. It's just, you know, in my mind, and looking at the map, I'll get to that, but in my mind I'm thinking, well, there's no parks, there's no nothing, or there's no anything around it. You know, the open space on the project is there, but it seems minimal. But then, like Commissioner Eswine, I drove around it today. I think it meshes perfectly with the surrounding areas. On the west and the north is commercial, you know, light commercial buildings. And it's a pretty good buffer between single family homes and light commercial. Is a two story, and again, we hear the concerns about two story, but it's not really our purview. I think it meshes really well, and to bring it full circle, you know, the park on Sonoma Street, which was the closest one, I didn't realize that Stafford backs up to Stafford. So it's really, it's actually a pretty good location. I think that playing in the street is a real concern. I mean, that was my main concern, is kid safety in not making an entrance off of Silver Sage, you know, people zipping in. So I certainly understand you don't want a bunch of kids in the street, and I don't think it'll be a huge issue. That's a really nice park down there, nicer than a lot of the ones in town. I drive across town to go to it sometimes. So I think it's a good location for what it's worth, and for the record, thanks.
And like you said, Sonoma Park's only about 2.5 blocks walk just down Stafford and right across the street. So we'll get up. Further discussion or a motion?
I'll make a motion. I move to recommend approval of SUP-19-177 based on the ability to make the required findings and subject to the conditions of approval contained in the staff report.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Commissioner Preston seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Hope you voted yes. I'd like to make, can I make a, before everybody leaves, a statement for the record on this, Lee Plumwell Community Development. This is a special use permit. It's the final decision on this application unless appealed. Any aggrieved any aggrieved party can file an appeal with, has to be within 10 days from this date, and contact the planning division if you have questions on how to do that.
Thank you, Lee. Can we take like 5 minutes?
We're going to break to 5:30. Huh? We're done.
I need to take a break. Okay, our agenda states that we will take a break now until 5:30.
Would you, so the DA's advised us that we could take the last item up right now if you want to dispense with that.
Okay, I need at least 5 minutes.
Okay.
Folks in the back, if you could take your discussion, we're going to move on to number 9 first as far as agenda items. Did I just throw out? Oh, I think I just threw out my damn agenda. We're going to try to do E9 before we do E8. E9 MPA 19-178 for possible action, discussion and possible action, make recommendations to the Board of Supervisors regarding the annual master plan report. Lee?
Thank you. Lee Plummel, Community Development Director, and I'll just give a really brief overview on the report that you have in your packet. And with your recommendation tonight, you'd be forwarding a recommendation to approve the annual report to the Board of Supervisors, and we'll take it to them in December or January. To just jump to the conclusion real quick, and I'll go through a little bit of information, but I think that the primary master plan implementation strategy for 2020 that we're recommending, and that I think you'll be recommending to the board, is to do the review and update of Title 18 and the development standards. So I think that's the big bulk of the work for planning staff. You have a report with a lot of other activities that go on annually from Public Works and various Parks and Recs Department in your report, and you can see that. But I think really in terms of the work plan, I'll get to the end and talk about that a little bit, just on a couple items. And we do this because state law NRS states that the Planning Commission will annually make recommendations to the Board of Supervisors on the implementation of the master plan. Okay. These charts are in there, and I just wanted to point out a couple things. Like, this is the population projections, with kind of the left half there being the certified population in the past and the right half being projections going forward. The red line, there's a red line in the middle, green, bluish line above that are kind of a low and high city projection on population growth. We've done the evaluation of our available land in Carson City with the master plan designations and zoning, and we have the capacity to get up to approximately 75,000 to 80,000 people in Carson City. Kind of at those growth rates, we're talking out to 2045. Or much later, depending on the growth rate before Carson City reaches that capacity. So anywhere, 25 to 50 years and beyond, possibly. Also, there's a recent state demographers population projection estimate. That's the black line there, and I think that that's a draft that will be coming out soon. I don't think it's going to change much. You see, he's more bearish on growth in Carson City than maybe we would like him to be. But I called him and asked about that because I know we're going to get the questions where, because I told him we have the, you're approving projects, you're approving subdivisions, people are still moving here. But his half of the estimates is, half of the projection is on unit increase and half of the projection is on economic development. And it's the economic development model out into the future statewide that is resulting in that type of projection. It's something that we monitor every year. I think early on a few years ago, I paid more attention to it, tried to match. It's been above our line in the past. It's been below our line in the past. So I've tended to ignore it and just not try to change our projections and just stay steady with our. I think that low projection is about, you know, at 0.6, a little bit more than a 0.5% growth rate. The higher one on average, a 1% growth rate, which is more realistic historically, we believe. And with this, kind of more conservative because these are used for water master planning, sewer master planning, transportation master planning. So try to err on the conservative level of assuming there's going to be more growth and preparing for it. And then if we don't get it, that kind of bumps the required improvements out farther. Any questions on that? Just my last kind of chart I have that you've seen is the number of residential units that we've had coming in. These are actual building permits with the year on the far right being 2019. In 2018, we had the 370-unit apartment complex come in. That's still under construction. Nothing opened yet. That's still under construction. But we continue to, I think the point of this really, what we're seeing is growth again in Carson City. We had an anomaly during the recession where there was no development, and we're kind of back to normal quote-unquote growth levels now. When I get to the there's three recommendations. This is the third one. We typically take this opportunity to get direction on other master plan and zoning map cleanup items. This is one that has come up with some development recently. It's a 1-acre subdivision that zoned conservation reserve, so it's basically zoned for the parcels being 20 acres in size, but they're only 1 acre in size. Don't need to go through the history. It happened. It's there. It exists. So our suggestion is to notice them and rezone the area to 1 acre so that they're allowed the setbacks consistent with the 1-acre zoning that it actually is. So finally, this is my last slide. It's the recommendations. As I mentioned, the big project is review Title 18, update Title 18. Also, I think another important one that I've highlighted here is to link the water capacity data that you saw within the last year to the land use on a parcel-by-parcel basis so that you can have that data on a project-by-project basis. And this probably would have been a good example tonight on some of these, how the water was projected and planned for versus what these actual types of uses would do. So that's another goal that we want to shoot for in 2020. So with that, I'll answer any questions you have.
Any questions for Commissioner Doors?
Just to kind of clarify the 2019 demographer projection, the one that you ignore, is the weight on the economic outlook, to clarify kind of what that means. He's saying, whoever put that together is saying that it, at least for Carson and the immediate surrounding areas, it doesn't look like there's going to be a lot of economic growth, and that's what's kind of causing that to plateau?
Essentially, yeah. And I'd be happy to share the document with you that is provided by the demographer that provides the methodology. It's a pretty in-depth analysis and program that's used. It's obviously used for every jurisdiction in the state. And it's, you know, the weighting is 50% unit count increase and 50% economic growth.
Other, other questions for Commissioner Wiggins?
It's interesting. I haven't, because I haven't heard of the decline 15 years from now that we're going to start losing. Yeah, how you project out. The bottom line is we don't know what the population is going to be 15. So it's a guess.
Yeah, for clarification on the low and high projection, do you take the average and then use that for water? Like, yes. Or do you take the high?
Well, I think when it's time to do a master plan update, I don't know the answer of which they're using. I think Public Works has, I say conservative, and they have tended to take the conservative approach, which is to assume the higher growth. I'm not sure of that. If we went to the transportation plan and look at it, that would match up exactly, as this is an updated number. But in past plans, they have tended to take the more conservative approach and assume the faster growth rate.
Thank you, Commissioner Tingle.
So as far as the water being tied to the growth per development, whatever development we're looking at the time, so where do you get the data regarding water supply? Is that from the state hydrologist? Is that from our local public works department? I'm just kind of curious as far as, because there's a huge difference between water rights and actually having water.
Yeah, well, there was the water study prepared that takes into consideration all of those factors and where, so yes, water rights is certainly one of the things, and they also in that report talk about production and how much actual production needs to be increased to meet certain growth demand rates. You have a good answer for that question.
So all of our water rights, we have a water utility manager who manages our water utility and anticipates the growth and the construction required and also acquiring water rights. And he's looking at increasing our surface water rights by acquiring water rights on existing streams in the Carson River. Based on their most recent study, I believe, though, they're showing that for build-out, they had sufficient water rights. If I remember correctly, it was the production that was lacking. So, like, their water treatment plant up by Kings is really outdated. And with upgrades, it could really increase the production of the water that we have the right to use. We just can't produce it right now. So I hope that helps with the question.
If I remember part of that report that they gave us, they said that, the new well on Ormsby and the other things that they were doing to the current water supply would get us almost to the build-out water requirement. And these additional water rights and these other things in the sewer plant would get us to the build-out projection, this new computer program that they had. But I also know that that's still in the – they were still working through all those problems. It might be interesting in another year to look at, see, you know, what's changed and what's been modified and how it's come to fruition. But it was a very confident report that at build out we would be in a position to have enough water.
Commissioner Preston.
Yeah, I'd be interested in an update on that too, because initially I thought that we actually had the agreement with the state of Nevada on the Marlette, for blending in additional water. And then I heard recently that, no, that agreement had fallen through. So my question is do we have that as a resource?
I'm not sure what the status is of being able to use the water from Marlette currently.
I know all the piping and all that they've been doing up mountain in that area is all trying to get everything connected to where from Gardnerville all the way up to Marlette would all be able to get water everywhere they need it. So correct and blend and whatever they had to do. Questions for staff? Any public comment on this issue on the master plan amendment? If not, I'll bring it back, and I'm ready to make a motion.
Mr. Chairman?
I was going to make...
Oh, leave our guests.
Okay. I move to recommend to the Board of Supervisors acceptance of the master plan annual report as presented by staff.
I'll second.
Seconded by Commissioner Borders. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Going back, E8, SUP-10-115-2, for possible action, discussion and possible action regarding the one-year review of the approval of modification of a special use permit for an asphalt plant on property zone general industrial located at 8013 Highway 50 East, APN 005-611-35. Before we get into this, we have quite a bit few people in the audience. Just to clarify, staff will make a presentation on this, and then we will have questions from us to staff. The applicant will come forward, and we'll have questions, and then we will open it up for public hearing. The last time this came up, we had a rather large group like we have tonight, and you're welcome. And when we get to you, we'll explain some of the more rules and get an orderly finish to this. So, staff?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll put up a map that shows the location of the facility. The yellow line that you see is the county line. So what is east and appears north of the county line is Lyon County. And what you see is Mound House, and I think a lot of the residents who live on those streets are present tonight. Again, I feel like every presentation I've made says back when we looked at this, so I'll do it again. You looked at a modification to the special use permit for this asphalt plant in October 2018. At that time, and as you know and as we've discussed tonight, when you consider a modification to a special use permit, you still look at your 7 required findings of fact, and you can only allow the modification if you can make each of those findings in the affirmative. Back in October 2018, you had to consider finding 2. Finding 2 is the finding that talks about, will the proposed use be detrimental to the use, peaceful enjoyment, economic value, or development of the surrounding properties in the general neighborhood, and will cause no noise, vibration, fumes, odors, dust, glare, or physical activity. We spent a lot of time on finding 2 in October 2018. During that meeting, and I'm referring to the staff report, page 10 of 12 of that staff report in October 2018, and I explained that NDEP staff explained to me that the odors, the primary source of the odor is volatile organic compounds, VOCs. NDEP advised that a similar problem with an asphalt plant occurred in Fernley. In the case in Fernley, the operator installed a regenerative thermal oxidizer, and there had been no odor complaints in over 2 years. We're now over 3 years. That equipment has addressed the odors in Fernley. The staff report then talked about the meetings I had had with staff at UNR. And staff at UNR had advised me that based on their research, there were 2 products that would be potentially effective suppressants of odors, one being EcoSorb. The applicant had readily agreed to use the EcoSorb, and so in that meeting in October 2018, what the commission said is, let's try the EcoSorb and see if it works. If it works, that's great. And if it doesn't work, we're going to have to revisit this. So let's revisit the situation in a year. and see what the outcome was in terms of odors, because you heard a lot about odors in October 2018. Staff's continuing to hear a lot about odors. In the year since you reviewed this modification to the special use permit, our code enforcement team has received 99 complaints. 98 of them were about odor. NDEP, I think, had 127 complaints in that 1 year time frame. In terms of the staff, the complaints that our code enforcement team reviewed, they've had 6 site visits out to Mound House based on the smell or odor complaints. In 1 case of the 6, they didn't smell an odor. In 4, there was a faint odor, and in 1, there was a strong odor. In the case of the strong odor, they came to see me, the code enforcement folks, and we called Robert Matthews, who's present. He's the business operator. And he explained his propane was low, so he was burning hotter than he would typically burn, and it wouldn't happen again. In terms of NDEP violations or complaints, and nothing has reached a threshold for a violation with NDEP. So we're not saying that there's not an odor. We're saying that nothing's hit the threshold for a violation. So with that background, at this point, the staff is recommending no action by this commission. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have, and I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Hope, originally I was here when this plant was approved to begin with, and at that time, we realized it was discussed that there was no one in Carson living around that area, but we did know right across the border, and I brought that up at that time. When it came back in last October, it was kind of a trade. He wanted to change his hours of operation, and so we discussed this at that time. And that was presented at that time about the scrubber or whatever, and then the odor reduction. I was under the opinion that coming back here would be if that chemical worked, that would be fine. And if it didn't, do we have any recourse or anything on that? That's what I understood. So I'm just not sure how. I know we approved it, but is there any way?
Anyway. What is before you is the 1 year review of the special use permit. It is a public hearing. We have notified it as a public hearing. If after taking public comment, the commission feels like the conditions of approval are no longer met and modifications are necessary, then we can have that conversation and schedule and work with the DA's office to figure out how to schedule that so that you can modify the conditions. I don't believe you can modify the conditions today, because it's a 1 year review. Let me just see how I advertise this. Discussion. I said possible action regarding a 1 year review of the approval of the modification of the special use permit. The commission may modify the based on the input received at the public hearing, the commission may modify conditions of approval or request staff to schedule additional reviews of the special use permit. So I've included that in the staff summary.
So between staff and the other, there have been 226 complaints in a 360 roughly time frame?
In a 1 year.
Okay. Thank you. Other questions for staff? Commissioner Doors?
In the email from Nathan Rash, it lists, you know, he talks about the odors and it says, you know, there's lots of odors, but no violations were issued. And then it mentions, well, I'll just read the sentence. There has been several cases where strong odor or elevated opacity was observed, but since both our odor and opacity regulations involve an averaging period and the nature of the source is intermittent, the threshold for a violation was not met. What is the averaging period? What is that?
I don't know. What you're reading from is an email from the enforcement officer at NDEP. So I believe he told me it was a 15-minute interval, but I can't promise you that's the case. And he advised that although they might smell the smell, this was on the telephone when we spoke, he may smell the smell, he then has to wait to see if he can continue to smell it, or they have some type of equipment to smell it. But
please, we went through this last time. There's no comments from the audience until we get there, please, sir.
This correspondence is from NDEP, and I'm not prepared to explain to you every single NDEP regulation.
Understood.
Other questions for staff? Seeing none, would the applicant like to come forward, please? Go ahead and take your seat. Turn the mic on if you'd be so kind. There you go. And then
my name is Robert Matthews. I live at 1210 South Curry Street. I'm here tonight to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you.
The first question, the piece of equipment uses a nasal ranger, which takes regular oxygen and mixes with the smell, and it comes with an aggregate. They dilute it. They haven't got anywhere close. I think they've been like 10% of what it would actually be to make it worse. But they've been called many a times. Many a times, they've also been called where they said we were running in the middle of the night, which we weren't even in town. Gates were locked. They've called and said we were doing this. Oh, there's a whole bunch of crazy comments that have come up that we've had the plant locked, shut down. We haven't even been in town. They said we've been running. We only ran two nights this year, which were different from our
permit. We'll get to that as we go. Okay. Right okay. Now, is there anything you would like to add to their presentation?
Not at all.
Okay. Any questions for the applicant? Okay, thank you. All right, seeing none. Oh, Commissioner Doors.
I'm sorry, I do have a question for the applicant. It's listed in here before the record. You have been using the additive since the last meeting, essentially nonstop during production.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's all. Thank you. Thanks. Okay, before we open this up for public comment, again, would you come up, please sign in? I don't want to please not have any shouting or whatever. We will take all the comment, and then we'll answer whatever questions need to be answered between us and the staff. If you all want to comment, that's fine. If you agree with the person ahead of you and just want to say, I agree with so-and-so, that's fine, too. If you have something new to add, feel free. So let's do an orderly way. I will open this for public comment. Ma'am, if you'd like to come forward. To expedite things, if the next person wants to speak would like to come forward and sign while that person is speaking, we can do that as well. And then just kind of rotate through.
Hi, my name is Michelle Busk. I live at 414 Tracy Lane. And I walked out of my house this afternoon and got immediately nauseated. It was so strong. They were cooking about a week and a half ago at night. They were cooking night before last. I've woken up several times at 3 in the morning as they start cooking then. It makes a horrible sound. But the most of all is I can't breathe. I can't go outside. I am in my house. All my windows are closed. In the summer, I like to open everything up in the nighttime and air out the house and let the breeze go through, because I know the breeze comes over from the west, and I love Nevada for that. And I have to close everything because I've been woken up at night coughing and choking and not being able to swallow. I would like to know what these chemicals are that they are putting in to stop the smell. Number one, they're not stopping the smell. It smells horrible. And number two, I think they're probably more dangerous than the smell. The property value, no one's going to want to buy, you know. I couldn't sell it. I couldn't afford to sell my property now, but even if I could, no one's going to want to buy it. You have to tell them when there's a problem, although no one told me, and I bought just after he built it. I came from Florida. I was staying at my daughter's. After living here for about 25 years, and I lived in Silver City. I never knew about this plant until I bought this property. The hours, you know, I'm sorry, I don't know what he's saying, but I invite anyone to come to my house. My clothes stink. My house smells. It creeps in through the house. My car smells. I have been so frustrated and crying so many times. I've called this office so many times. I've called NDEP office. NDEP office so many times. So they said, start calling every day. Well, I'm really busy. That's why I haven't called every day. And a lot of times, like, they'll cook at night and in the morning, and then I call, and all I can do is leave a message. No one can come out at 7 or 8 in the morning because they're not at work yet. So, I mean, I really don't. Okay, another thing I wanted to go by, I've talked to the NDEP people a lot. This law that says blah, 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 what she was saying, 1975, no one lived here then. In 1975, this law was written, and it needs to be changed. I've talked to them about that, too, and you know, I don't know if they're going to, but I wish they would, about, you know, if this per particle, per billion, per blah, 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 just come out and live in my shoes for a week and see if you could do that, you know, without totally tearing your hair out. There was one other thing. I forgot what it was, of course. Anyway, I don't know how much longer I can take this. It's horrible. It's really horrible. And I know there's a lot of children in my neighborhood. There's elders. There's working class people. If I had the money, I'd get a lawyer today, yesterday, 2 years ago. Thank you.
And if we could try to keep our comments 3 minutes or less, that would be appreciated too.
Where do you see the green? Oh, okay. Until I do this a lot.
There you go.
Hi, my name is Judy Lucas. I live on Miriam Way, which is right up against the hill. So we get the first shot of the smell. And I want to thank all of you for trying to help us, although I don't think one of us is.
Please keep the directions to
okay.
us, please. And
I want to thank NDEP. They're really trying to help us. We had a special meeting with them a couple of weeks ago, just a few of us, and they're trying. Code enforcement, Bill at code enforcement, I'd like to thank him. He's been very, very good. Takes all of the emails we send him, that my husband sends him. By the way, the screens are very nice. We bought screens. We didn't know that's who it was.
Just please keep it to the...
Okay.
We're going to have a long night here, it looks like.
So. There's a lot of angry people here. I'm trying to stop them from being so angry. Okay. I'm sure most of you know us. We've been here. This is our third or fourth time. I don't know. I don't really know how this man can do what he's doing to us and to our children. I am so worried about these little children in our neighborhood. Yes, the smell is there. But what about the ashes? Where do these ashes all go? And they're toxic. I have something here that I handed out to as many as I could in our group. And it, from OSHA, tells you right here how bad it is. And when you start at 76 years old trying to figure out how you can sell and move out and pay a huge payment or buy a house, we can't afford to buy another house, the price of houses. Now, even though we make quite a bit on our house, we still can't be. And any of you are welcome to come and stay with us for a week. Day and night, we have to do it. He doesn't do it just at the time he was told to do it. He does it at 2:30. The last meeting that we had here last year, Would you believe, number one, he told us out in the hall that Hope didn't know what she was talking about the attitude.
Okay, please, please.
Oh, no, you need to know this about him because he's a terrible, terrible man.
Keep your... I will empty this room. Keep your instructions to
I'm
us.
I'm just telling you what he has said to us.
Okay.
And he plays games. He knows no one we can call in. And he knows he can do his cooking and the smell and have it shut down before NDEP gets there. He knows that. He knows how to do that now. Okay? And he invited my husband and I over to see the plant. Well, why? We never did go over because we're not too pleased with him to start with. So he just does not care. He's arrogant. And he does not care about what he's doing to us. And people are getting sick. I mean, I don't understand why he can't be shut down. At the time that he started, we were Carson City. And nobody bothered to look over the hill to see us. And we were there. And I don't understand how that can happen. How he can be okay to do this. We're all getting sick. And there's a lot of us. So if I'm getting sick, what's happening to children? So something, he's got to be stopped. Please, I'm begging you, stop him.
And again, please, let's try to keep it to about 3 minutes or less if we can.
Hi, my name is Melanie Harris, and I live two doors down from Judy and Bob. And I work graveyard, so I leave for work late. And I've smelled it when I leave for work late. And in the morning when I come home. So don't tell me he's not cooking at night. And all of us can swear to that. But we were never notified about this plant 3 years ago or whatever it was. We never, none of us knew about it. And we should have been notified. It's right over the hill. We have to tape up our swamp coolers. I haven't used mine in 3 years. I had to buy a portable one. The realtor, they're selling these houses and no one's disclosing it. There's been three sold. And I tried calling the realtor executors and telling them, you got to disclose this, or this one lady wouldn't have never bought her house. We can't sell our houses because we would disclose it. And it's just not fair. These are pictures of how the smoke goes right over that hill into our neighborhood. See, Hope? So, I don't know if you're going to hear a lot of the same things because it is affecting us. I had a health insurance agent over the other morning, November 4th. She thought it was her car. It wasn't her car. I had an electrician over last Monday. He smelled it. I mean, we're not making this up. And yet, everybody, no one's helping us. It's been 3 years now. And no one is helping. We should be rezoned or he should be out of there. It's only fair to us and for people that want to sell their house or buy a house. And it's getting really old.
Thank you.
Hi. My name is Kayla Lopez. I've lived in Mound House my whole life. My kids are growing up there. So we weren't warned about this. I have been on short-term disability this whole year. So basically, usually I'd go to work before, 6 o'clock, get home at like 5:30. Depends, when I was off, like we can't open our windows, like she said. Kids are not playing outside. I mean, when I was little, I would be out there all the time. I would be playing and riding my bike, and we just got a park a couple years ago, 5 years ago or something? My kids don't go down there because of it. Like, it is a really strong smell. I don't think that he realizes it, and the hours of operation, like, I wasn't prepared. I'm here with my parents, or I would do the videos. I would have all the pictures like she did. Those were good pictures. I've seen it worse, where I'm coming from Dayton, and our whole area, even further down, is just smoke. It's unbearable how bad it is. Every summer, when it gets spring, we would open the windows, air out the house, like she said. It's not possible anymore. It is really, really strong smell. And it's not, I don't know his hours of operation, but I know he's doing it before 6. I've went to work sometimes, and I see the smoke clouds. So I don't think he's abiding by where it's supposed to be.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Cindy Jones. My husband and I, Jerry, actually are new to this. We just relocated after 40 years in Vegas to retire here in June. Our kids found the property for us because we were not able to come up. We were really excited about it, get out of Vegas. My husband, I am going to admit, has COPD since 05, quit smoking at that time, has been managing it very well. But with the heat and stuff, we wanted to be near our daughter. We relocated, bought this beautiful home to 230 Mount House, Miriam Wham Mount House. So happy. Got here June. By August, I've had him at Quick Care every month for breathing. We're changing his medications, thinking this and that. Okay, the fumes are one thing, but we didn't even know what was going on. We hear this all night long. He said, "Do you hear that going on all night long?" I'm like, "What?" He's like, "Over there, they're just working. I'm like, "Wow, that's crazy. Well, we got a lot of building going." Well, the fumes are one thing. They're right. All that's confirmed. Now I'm realizing the long-term effect, which is what scares us. And we also, you know, can't sell. We don't want to. This is a growing area. This is fantastic. We love it here. I am almost like them, just like, "Oh, no, please, I want to stay here." But if Fernley did this regenerative thermal oxidizer several years ago, I realize these things cost millions. But I also know they can depreciate this stuff over many years. I don't know in a home what 5 years you can depreciate. What can a commercial business depreciate? I don't know. But I really was sad that he left because I wanted him to hear. I would suggest, I don't want him to leave, but I can't stand what they're going through, and I'm scared to death to lose. He's 71 in very good health. He's been very unable to, fatigued. We couldn't figure out any of this. I'm afraid we're both going to leave before we even get grandkids now. So I'm suggesting see what this thermal oxidizer, depreciate it out. My goodness, I don't know any of this. I just know. We do need, it's growing in Dayton, it's growing everywhere. We need these roads. So, I don't know. That's my suggestion. Have him do what Friendly did. If I know those fumes and that aren't infecting us, I'm really happy here. So, thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Can you turn this on? My name is Lynn Stillman. I live in the Carson Highlands Mobile Home Park, which is actually below everybody that has spoken here already. And the fumes have a tendency to lay in the lower areas. For instance, just this morning, it was so bad, of which it usually is on a daily basis and in the evenings also, that I have a previous lung problem where I had a lung collapse twice, of which I don't know exactly why that happened, but I know now that with these fumes, I can tell as soon as I open a door or a window that I can feel the heaviness in my chest. And I also get migraines from these fumes. And I really think it's time that they do something about it. And I don't see very many people here from the Carson Highlands Mobile Home Park, but I wanted to let you know that it's definitely a problem in my area. Thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am. Welcome, young man.
Okay, so I am translating for my dad, and he is worried about us because...
Would you state your name?
Octavio Juarez. Yeah.
And I'm translating for him because every time in the morning when I wake up to go to school, the pain is really strong, and sometimes over the weekends when I wake up, all I hear... I feel my eyes burning and my head hurts really bad, and it's worse for my little brother because he has asthma. And it affects him more than it affects us. Thank you.
Thank you.
And now house.
My house. 391 Tracy Lane. Thank you.
Yes, sir. State your name, if you would, for the record.
How are you doing there, guys? I'm Ed from Ed's Custom Sheds, the owner. Am I speaking? Can you hear me?
I'm Ed from Ed's Custom Sheds. I live in my own house. My address is 10126 US Highway 50. I live in my shop because I don't dare live in my house on Corey Way. I kind of observed his operation, and I think what's happening is that he's running his stock or his product straight through without using the bag house. The bag house is the filter. It's the one that goes through, and it recycles itself and reburns. Okay, this is a very strict process. I mean, if the EPA was going to go down there and inspect this, I mean, they're looking for all kinds of stuff, you know. They check the diaphins, or dioxins, and furans, and metal concentrations, particulate matter, stuff like that. It's a very serious, tight operation, and I think he's totally avoiding the bag house. The bag house, like I said, is the filtering device, and reburns the waste product into his product. Okay, what I notice is there's nothing coming out of the bag house stack. Okay, I was just there today. There's very little coming out of it. Okay, and there's a huge amount of dust and all kinds of debris coming out where he's loading the trucks. Okay, so he's totally bypassing the bag house, I believe. Okay, I'm not an expert. Did a little reading about it. It's a very simple operation, but when you have to, you know, focus on non-polluting methods, it's complicated. Okay, so I think he just said, hell with that. I'm going to get my product out any way I can, and we're the ones that are suffering from it. I've seen big flumes of dust and stuff like that going over the houses. I've seen a big plume of that dust as it was traveling today. Go to my physical therapist, and you can see through the streak of the sunlight that it was a brownish color. I mean, this stuff is ridiculous. We need somebody to go out there, a field inspector, and inspect this man immediately. I mean, what he's doing to these people is ungodly. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
My name is Will Fraker. I live at 770 Shari Drive, Mount House, Nevada. I've been there for 30 years. I hear stories about grandfather and all this other stuff with this asphalt plant. That asphalt plant is not grandfathered in. It can't be. It was never there to begin with. What I see on a daily basis at 4:45, 5 o'clock in the morning, Monday through Friday, sometimes Saturday, that burner over there sounds like a jet engine. Sounds like it's 20,000 horsepower jet engine going off. It's unbelievable how loud it is in the neighborhood. And when the wind's just right, the smoke comes through the neighborhood, you can't even see the houses down the street. It's getting really, really asinine. I'm sorry, but people are getting mad. And I hope you people understand, we're in a different county, but we're the ones suffering. Nobody in Carson City is suffering from this. We are. I just want you guys to know that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Not sure. Is this working yet?
When it turns green, there you go. Oh. There you go.
Well, that's green. Okay. Sorry, colorblind.
No problem. Okay.
I'm Dave Lockhart. I live in 796 Charlie Drive in Mount House, also with these folks. And these guys are all right. It stinks most days in the morning. I get up, I have to be at work at 8 o'clock. When I leave my front door, I smell it every morning. And I think this guy is running outside his parameters at night. I do a lot of work at night, just, you know, hobbies and stuff in the garage, work in my backyard. I smell it at night, too, like 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night. So that can't be right. I mean, I know people that live up Lineham Road, and they see plumes of this junk going over the air. It's crazy. This has been much out of control. I just want it stopped. Either he gets shut down or, you know, clean his stuff up. One or the other. And I don't have, you know, my sense of smell is not that good anyway. So if I'm smelling it, I can't imagine what it is for people who have normal sense of smell. It's got to be a lot worse. And it's not healthy for us. So that's all.
Thank you, sir.
Yep, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. I think your mic might be already on.
Is it on?
Yeah.
Well, hello, and thank you so much for hearing us again. I went out last week and the week before and got a petition done.
Can we get your name?
My name is Melissa Fraker. Great. And I've been here ever since this has started. And I hope that you listen to all these people here that haven't been here a few times. The Spanish people. Speaking community, I put a petition out there just for them, and there is a couple of them that did show up tonight, and they asked me if they could speak. But this has to be addressed. My lungs are getting super, super bad, and for him to say that he does not run at 3 o'clock in the morning and does not run at different areas of the time, I have it on film. I don't have the greatest camera to do it at night vision, but there is people you have heard from everybody tonight that it is very bad around our community. We cannot breathe. We cannot live justly anymore. Your NAC 445B dot 22087 odors. Okay, we have comply to 1 and 2. And the air quality admissions, which is number 3, they've been up to 20%. Okay. But he shuts it down other than 15 minutes to comply with this. Okay. And he knows it. And he's well aware of what he does. He's a very smart cookie, all right, in the operations area. And I think that it needs to be, because it says an hour period of time. Okay, the hour period of time, he's already shut everything down. The air has come back. It sits in our little area, right? On the now, how far can a asphalt plant be from a community? I don't still know that. And I still don't know why we are going on 1975 readings when now we are in 2019. We need to figure it out, because this cannot go on in our community no more. A year... It's over the period of time where we can live comfortably. I have a petition that people just signed again that is stating over 75 people. No, I have a new one. That's right. I went out again in my wheelchair, ma'am, in my car.
We can't take that at this
you
time.
You can't. Because okay. Well, the next time, I have a new one.
Well, you can state how many people are on that.
There's 75 people on there. Okay, and I didn't make it to the top side of, I only made it to the bottom side of the area. And on Jeanette, which is the houses further down from our community, I have 4 signatures, but they're such big lots that I only talked to people that were outside working in their yard. And they said, oh, no, we are so sorry for you, but we smell it over here, too. And they have a half acre property. Excuse me. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you for hearing me. And you all have a good night. And please help us. Thank you. For you guys and for me.
Thank you. Good evening. My name's Jan Wiley, and I live at 396 Tracy Lane, just up the street from Misty. I wanted to bring up something from the summary from the meeting of last year in October. Planning Commission approved the modification of a special use permit for an asphalt plant, specifically modifying the hours of operations. And hearing from different people, it sounds like he's running different kind of hours. And did anything come up as far as the commission, the Planning Commission, as far as hours, when he could run?
Ma'am, we'll take all your input, and then we'll respond with answers to
okay,
questions.
Okay, great, because I do know he runs on Saturday, and sometimes you want to enjoy your backyard on Saturdays, and you can't. Oh, yes. Yes, so that was my...
Wonderful. Thank you, ma'am.
You're better.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. This is, am I on?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, my name is Juan Delgado. My wife and I bought a house on 791 Charlie Drive in 2003. And back in those years, it was nice and quiet, no smells. Now, like you guys heard, I mean, we can't even go outside. It's so bad. My kids grew up in that neighborhood. Thank God that they don't live there no more than Reno. But one of them is still with us. But I just hope that you guys can help us. Because my wife and I, we even thought about selling the property and get the hell out of there. Because it's so bad. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. Hold the applause, please, so the others can speak. Thank you.
I think it's great. Excuse me. The thing is that he keeps saying, also the last time, I live in Carson City and I don't smell it. Of course he doesn't. Okay? Because the wind is also going east.
Can we get your name, ma'am?
Oh, yes. My name is Rosa Irigoyen.
Thank you.
And I live at 598 Jenny Lane, Mount House. And the fumes are really so bad. Any time of the day. And it's bothering us. And that's all I have to say at this time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yes, my name is Matthew Wilkie. I'm a brand new homeowner in the community. I just purchased a month ago, and I'm one of the people that unfortunately my realtor did not inform me about what was going on over there. The two times I went to view the house I'm currently in, there was no smells those times. It was ironic. I went there with my realtor. Everything looked great. After moving in, I've been there for almost 1 month to the day. It is almost a constant daily struggle and process. I almost regret my decision to purchase in this community. I was really looking forward to it. It's a closer commute to my work where I was currently locating from. Not only us as, you know, as I notice my animals are being affected by it as well. You know, my dog wheezes and she coughs more, you know, not just us, you know, we're affected too, but our animals, you know, they're affected. She can't come in here and talk, you know, on her behalf, but you know, it's getting out of hand to where I know this is 1 year later that this special use permit was in effect to reconvene and re-talk about the smells. Clearly these smells are not being stopped. I was not here 1 year ago. I've only been here for 1 month. But if that's what this man was given, one year to run this product to see if everything worked, it's clearly not. Whether he needs to purchase this, whatever this item is that I can't think of right now, on his dime, he needs to do it. The community is suffering. It's not okay. He's profiting. I'm sure he's not doing this for the fun of doing it. This man's making money. He's profiting while we're suffering. It should be on his dime to get this fixed. All right, thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. No, I'd rather not. You've had your time, ma'am. Everybody's having a chance.
I just want to say that it's up to you to take care of
okay.
us.
Okay, I understand.
Because you are the
one. No.
Is that it for now? Okay, come forward, please.
Hi, my name is David Scott. I'm the code enforcement officer in Lyon County. And I don't need to tell you that, thank you, that there's a lot of people that have issues with this plant. I've received complaints about it since I took my position about a year and a half ago. I've also received inquiries from the Mound House Citizens Advisory Board, as well as the Lyon County Board of Commissioners and the Planning Department in Lyon County, because the questions and the complaints go throughout, you know, the government. So really, I wanted to express that, and then I just want to get the information on what you all decide to do so I can take it back to the people I work for in Lyon County and get them up to speed. So thank you very much.
Thank you for coming forward. Bringing it back, I would like to make a couple statements. I can speak from history of this. When I got out of the service in 1971 and first came to Carson City, about the second summer I was here, I got a job working in asphalt. That time the plant was just off Deer Run Road out there. And we would go out there and pick up our stuff and the oil and whatever we needed, and we did driveways and resealed and all this stuff. That plant seemed to run fine, and there wasn't a lot of people around there at that time, but there were still people out there. But I can speak from history on this. In recent history, on the 16th of October, I was heading down to southern Utah to see my family, my kids and my grandkids. And I came over the hill by Eagle Valley Golf Course in my car with the doors closed and the windows closed, about 7:15 in the morning, and the odor was so strong coming in through my air vents, and it proceeded, I could still smell it when I got to the Virginia City turnoff, okay? So I know that the odor is out there, maybe occasionally, maybe at times. I think there's a real problem. I was on this board when that plant was first approved, and that time, the folks of Lyon, I don't think, were notified. I can't remember. But it was brought back to us, and we discussed the scrubber and the chemicals, and we decided to go with the chemicals. So I'm not sure what recourse we have here, but I know, as being trying to be good neighbors and stuff, that if there's anything we can do, I think we have to try to make an effort to try to do something on this issue. And as I say, it's back to the any other comments from.
Let's answer the question.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And then we'll take the questions.
Okay. In October 2018, you created a condition of approval, condition number 17, which said the operator shall utilize EcoSorb in operations to suppress odors. At that time, again, I'm repeating myself, but that was to see if it would work. And you said, but we need to come back in a year. What you didn't ask for was that the applicant utilize the regenerative thermal oxidizer, which is what was utilized in Fernley and successfully. So what you could do is, if you'd like to change that condition, you could do that. This is here before you today because you weren't sure if that condition was going to work.
Well, and at that meeting, we understood we were going to try the chemicals because that was the cheaper route to go. But obviously, the chemicals are not working. So I was hoping we had some recourse. They didn't want to do the oxidizer, whatever, because it was an expensive piece of equipment. But obviously, in my opinion, something needs to be done. Commissioner Preston?
I thought one of our conditions also was a condition of operation hours. And can we clarify what the operation hours were that we requested?
Yes, that's condition 13. and says operating hours are to be from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Operating on Sunday would be on an emergency basis only. Emergency basis means fire, flood, or other major event where the city is in need of material for a crisis. The applicant may work at night or on a Sunday up to 30 times in a calendar year. When work is to occur at night or on Sunday, the operator shall advise the community development director in writing 72 hours prior.
So have you ever received a notice prior?
No.
Thank you.
The next question I have is that if I was a citizen in Mount House, what time of the day could I actually be able to contact the EPA, the code enforcement for Lyon County, or code enforcement for Carson City?
Code enforcement in Carson City works from 8 to 5, although they can work varied hours as necessary. NDEP has advised that they are routinely driving through because they know the situation, so they're not waiting on a complaint. If they find themselves out that way, they're taking a drive-through.
And Lee Plemmel, Community Development Director, is under code enforcement's under us. So they have been, the Carson City code enforcement has been out there to make sure they're waiting till 6 o'clock to start. Now, this is very spotty. This is not on a frequent basis, but this is after complaint. So they have been there in the morning to check, and they have stayed late to go check and have not found violations on those times when they checked. Admittedly, that's not a lot of times, but they have spot checked. They have been out there and checked.
And actually, under condition 13, that was the reason when you first came back was to change his hours, because it was 7 a.m. was start time, and we moved it to 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And it also says startup of equipment may occur between 5:30 and 6, which means you can fire up the burners and everything else at 5:30 in the morning. Or is that just startup of equipment like trucks? That would be everything. They could start the plant at 5:30 in the morning.
Number 13.
To start it warming up.
So you're saying it's okay for us to suffer all of
this? Ma'am, please. We're discussing.
Right, the startup of equipment that was because of the
startup of equipment was because he needed time to heat it up. So that was that, having, that the gates were to stay closed until 6.
And having worked in that, they've got to get that thing warmed up. Otherwise, it's really going to be bad if it's not running hot enough when they start it. So.
Well, it seems to me that the issue here is the odor. And they have obviously have not been able to control the odor. So it looks, from my perspective, what we can do is either change condition 17 to require the scrubber, or move to revoke the permit.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Ben Johnson, Deputy District Attorney, for the record, just to be clear that revocation is not an option tonight. There's a specific process laid out in CCMC for revocation. If the board feels that the conditions aren't being met, then, you know, that we can work with staff. But just so the audience knows, that can't be decided tonight.
No, we can start. We could request that process to begin. So we can basically require change in 17, the EcoSorb operation, to strike that and then add as the option to try a scrubber or whatever, or how would we word that?
It could say that the 17, the operator shall utilize a regenerative thermal oxidizer.
And I would also like to recommend that if we include that he not be permitted to operate until he installs that equipment.
And if that is not amenable or not acceptable, then I would like to see us start the process. What needs to be done to look at the permit?
What you can do is you can request that the community development director begin an investigation into the special use permit And that's the first step in the revocation process.
Is that similar to what we did with the court? With the gate.
Right. So you start with a request for an investigation.
Okay. Do you want to do it?
Commissioner Dorsey, for the record.
Oh, go ahead, Commissioner.
I also think if we put that verbiage in there, I completely agree with everything that's being said. I think if we put that verbiage in there specifically, I want to emphasize that the whole plant shouldn't be operating until they get the equipment up and running. For the record, a year ago we did tell these people that, you know, we would get the smell taken care of, and it's pretty reminiscent of, I was a kid, but I mean, it's pretty reminiscent of out in Fallon and all the water, stuff that went on out there, and it's scary. And seeing kids in here and running around out there playing, I wouldn't want my kids anywhere near it. I think we have a responsibility to do something about it, and we will. For you guys, thank you.
Two things. For the benefit of the record, when you're suggesting a change to Condition 7, can you verify that you're making this recommendation based on finding number 2, which is the finding I outlined at the beginning about compatibility with the neighborhood? Because I want the record to be very clear. Should you vote to change the condition, the applicant will have the ability to appeal that decision. So I just don't want the audience to believe that that's not the case.
I also think that the commission should consider revoking the part of the one of whatever in the conditions where it says he can operate up to 30 days a calendar year in the middle of the night if he provides 72 hours. Obviously, there seems to be a consensus. He's operating in the middle of the night. There has not been one notification. I think we should just remove that and make it so, you know, leave the thing about emergencies and disasters. But other than that, I think his operating hours should be 6 to 6, period.
Let's make sure we can get through if we can,
is what I'm saying. I would like to.
That's something we can do.
I'd like to
modify any conditions, I believe.
Is that in the? I didn't know where you were reading that from. If that's a condition, then yeah, okay. I also recommend that we modify condition number 13 to remove that possibility.
Commissioner Preston.
One of the other conditions was to have a kind of a shed over where he dropped his material in. Did that ever come to fruition? Because everybody keeps talking about dust and stuff coming up and above. So I'm wondering, did he ever install that shed?
My understanding was it was installed, and in fact, I believe it was installed before your October meeting based on discussions between him and NDEP.
So, who wants to tackle this?
I'll make a motion.
I appreciate it, Commissioner Esselin.
I move to...
One relevant question. Are we going to revisit this after a set amount of time to see if the new equipment that we're modifying 17 to make sure that is working, maybe in another year or something? I hate to beat a dead horse.
You can leave 18 in there.
Yeah, we'll leave 18.
So leave 18, and then it applies that in another year we review it again. Okay, sorry.
Can I ask one more question that wasn't answered? Why weren't we notified when this started? Our neighborhood.
I
asked that.
Go ahead. Thank you, Lee.
Take that. Lee Plumble, Community Development Director. So I don't think Hope was even with us when this started, but I recall we sent the notification to the Lyon County Community Development Department. We generate notices from our system. The parcels outside of Carson City aren't in our database, so we don't create the labels, but we gave them the notice, giving them the project like we do, leaving it up to them to notify residents as appropriate. So I'm sorry that didn't happen, but we did reach out to Lyon County. We've done the same thing in the past on other counties' border to the south as well, where they have sent notice. And unfortunately, in this case, I remember it happening. I know they were not sent notices individually at that time.
Our notification process involves Carson City and so many feet, depending on the project and whatever, because you're over county lines. We notify your county, but it's not up to us to notify the individuals.
Ask a question. If we're going to visit it in a year,
can we do a shorter amount of time?
Yes.
Because we're suffering for a year.
Yeah.
So can we do a shorter amount of time for that review?
Hold on, please. Go ahead, Commissioner Doors.
The problem, just to kind of generally address the timeline, I think a year seems fair. They're not going to be operating until they get the equipment if we change this. And, you know, from a business standpoint, a year goes pretty fast. I know it's not the best outcome for you guys, but they won't be burning until they put this new thing up anyways. So.
And keep in mind that Keep in mind this piece of equipment did work in Fernley and has worked for 3 years. So, anyway. Okay. So we're working on Commissioner Estwine and Commissioner Borders. And
I still have a question about...
No.
I asked a question about what chemicals were being
used. We don't know in the Econo, whatever it is, we don't know what chemicals are in that. It obviously has passed whatever it had to pass to be used commercially. The additive or whatever he's using.
It's called Ecosorb, and it's listed on the paperwork in the back. If you grab the paperwork,
just look it
condition
up
17, you guys can look up the whatever's in it. We don't get that information.
Mr. Chair.
You ready?
I would like to propose that we amend the special use permit 10-115-2 to amend conditions 13 to eliminate the night operations except for emergencies by striking everything after the applicant may work at night in 13. And revising number 17 to require the installation
of a
regenerative thermal
oxidizer,
and that prior to any continued use of this facility, that equipment be installed.
I will second that motion.
I have one.
Oh, in the addition of the year, or that stays, then the condition stays 18.
If he accepts, or as this is written now, he's basically not going to be able to function until he installs this equipment. But he may, in fact, in his business, have commitments already. You know. Is that just too bad, or I'm sorry, y'all. We're not talking to you.
Please, we're trying to help you out.
You all have got a lot of things going for you. Don't mess it up. Okay? Thank you. My question is, does he have a grace period somewhere to clear his backlog or his orders?
You know, Commissioner Borders,
just for clarification, Commissioner Wiggins started talking about the revocation process. That would be a separate action that you would take, and in that action, you would request the Community Development Director to conduct an investigation on the compliance of the special use permit.
And we don't need that action if he accepts what we're putting out.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
correct.
Perhaps we do need an addendum to my motion, because he has to accept the new conditions. If he doesn't accept the new conditions, can we now put forward a motion to ask the Community Development Department to start an investigation should he not accept the conditions of approval?
Yeah, let me go back to the first question about just on the motion as it stands now and the timing of how much time does he have to do it. So in conferring with the district deputy attorney, who can correct me if I misstate anything, but the applicant has 10 days to appeal this. So and if he appeals, we believe that appeals kind of stays the changes, that puts on hold these changes pending that outcome at the Board of Supervisors Otherwise, the appeal period is over in 10 days, and it would become effective after the appeal period's over.
So, in essence, he can still operate through the appeal process, which we advance. That's 10 days is better than 6 months.
Well, and 10 days, and if he does appeal, then that extends the period until it gets scheduled for the a final decision at the Board of Supervisors.
But we will see
the
light
at the
end of
the tunnel. 65 days,
roughly.
You answered my question.
Thank
you. Well, also, number 18, I think it would be helpful for clarity if you inserted a date as opposed so nobody thinks it was just left over. And you could look at October 2020 because we are supposed to do this review in October.
Whatever our meeting date is in October of 2020, for the rest of you, whatever meeting date we'll have it, that's when another review is.
I have a question for staff. Is there an action we can take tonight that will
point of order? We're discussing. We have a motion and a second that we need to vote on before we can do that.
We can still discuss.
Can we? Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, is there an action we can take that'll stop him from operating? To be clear for the record, from his standpoint, I understand he's trying to put food on the table. We have a responsibility to, people breathing this air, I think. So I think we as a commission should do as much as we can to limit that. Is there something we can do to eliminate this 10-day and then a possible appeal where he can push it out to 65 days? Or is that essentially no matter what we do, that's the bottom line?
From a zoning perspective, I would say that this is the most you can do to get it done as quickly as possible, what you're considering now. And you're not – the other way would be the show cause, which you talked about, initiating that to revoke the special use permit. That's going to be an investigation, a meeting, then scheduling another meeting for show cause.
While he operates
We're months away through that process. The other one is revocation of a business license from the Board of Supervisors. That's a similar process as show cause that takes months.
Understood.
I just want the audience to realize we're doing what we can do, and 65 days is a lot better than continuing like we have now. So that's the max that would probably stretch out. So just to clarify for you folks.
Okay. I would modify my motion to include a date of October 2020 for the next review of this special use permit, should he accept the conditions of approval.
I'll second that as well. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Motion.
Can we start an investigation also?
Separately from
Can we start an investigation separately from what we just did?
Yeah. With this item on the agenda, the way it's written, can we make a motion?
Can staff give us an update at the next meeting?
We don't want to jeopardize what we just did, so, or give him another out or time frame.
Mr. Chair, Ben Johnson.
Commissioner Preston. Okay.
Okay. The other thing that I have a question about is in this next 10-day period, or the 65 days, we're coming into the winter. That's when we have inversions. And when we have inversions is usually when people have more problems as far as air breathing and so forth. Could we encourage the people to any time that they feel that they have some air quality issues to continue to contact code enforcement and the EPA, because this is usually a time of the years when things are really exacerbated?
And I believe so. Unfortunately, in the wintertime, often is when you aren't doing a lot of asphalting either because it's too cold. But you don't know that, with our weather.
Commissioner Preston, I agree with that, and I would also like to add in different sort of aspects, and when I've had a lot of problems, oftentimes contracting your congressmen or senators can be an outstanding resource as well. So,
Can we hear from the district attorney on the question of pursuing?
Ben Johnson, deputy district attorney for the record. I think that the way that it's agendized, we would need to have it put on the next agenda in order for the board to request the community development director begin the investigation into possible revocation or show cause hearing.
Would that need to be agendized if he refuses, or would it just automatically come back to us? Okay.
We can agendize it for the December meeting, and it will be very similar to how the other, with the gate was handled, where it ended up you didn't really take action,
right,
but you started the process.
Right, correct. So that takes care of that.
He left.
Moving on. Well, wait. That's all taken care of then, folks. If you want to, we'll give you a few minutes. You're welcome.
Happy holidays, can you guys consider about the bag house, though? Because I said it's not working properly, and all that toxins is going straight through, contaminating everybody. Okay, thank you.
Folks, can you please take it out? Because we have some more things to address. So, or, yeah, thank you. Can you please take it out? Thank you. So we can wrap up and get home.
We'd like to have dinner too.
Okay, moving on. Staff reports. Lee?
Yeah, just real briefly. At the first Board of Supervisors meeting in November, we discussed the Title 18 update, and based the summary of that is we're on the right track. As we discussed last time, is not trying to understand the whole thing, but you know what we have now. Let's take the parts we use, which is the uses and development standards, and we'll focus on that. Along those lines, I think at this point it's very likely we're going to be into January before we schedule any other workshops, primarily just because of the other projects we have going on now that I'll discuss, and everybody's busy implementing new software right now in our office, in our building. So we're pretty busy for the foreseeable few weeks here. Is it on?
Yeah, there's one tomorrow.
Do we really have
for what?
Workshop.
We didn't post an agenda for that. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I apologize. I think we discussed it at one point, so I appreciate you staying on top of that. But no workshop tomorrow. No Planning Commission workshop on Title 18 tomorrow. Sorry about that.
Or next Wednesday.
No, yeah, no. I'll have to look at a date for the next one. I don't have the next date now. And if I have one, does anybody have one on the calendar for December?
I have one on the
18th. Just before.
I think we were generally. Yeah.
You weren't
going to
be here for November, right, Commissioner?
No,
it was October.
Oh,
it was October. I won't be here for December.
Yeah, I'll send an email out on workshops to give you all an update on that. And for the next meeting, it's also on a, because of the Christmas holidays at the end of the month in December, we have the meeting early. It's going to be Tuesday, December 17th. You should have that in your calendar. We're going to start at 3:30 again. I don't think it's a terribly large agenda. However, the big item on there that will have a time specific at 5:00 is the Anderson Ranch, the former property formerly known as the Vintage Project residential subdivision. So we would expect a large crowd for that one. And we were talking about it a little bit, probably help you with the 3-minute timer for that one. Might consider using that for that meeting. I think those are the major ones for that. Yeah. Oh, did she send that? Yeah. So it's a place. We've talked about what time. We initially reserved this room for that time period, beginning at 1:00. We're kind of narrowing it down now that the notices are going out. So we'll send a new one out that's definitely for 3:30.
Okay. Will you get liquor though?
No.
No samples.
That's all I have.
All right. Commissioner reports and comments. I'm still here this month. I may not be here next month. I decided since we haven't sold the house yet, I might as well keep doing this until the house sells. So anyway, that's all I've got to say.
Well, sir, in case you accidentally sell your house, it's been a pleasure to have you here.
I hope I sell it since the new house in St. George is being sheetrocked as we speak. So anyway, any other commissioner reports?
Yeah, I would like to.
Commissioner Eswine.
I'd like to ask staff to request that the Anderson Ranch project be put off until January so that I could have an opportunity to participate in that discussion. I know that there are legal requirements, but I would request that you talk to the developer and see if he would agree to postpone it.
That will get me out of it for sure because I won't be on the board in January.
Do we for our December meeting, do we know that we would have a quorum?
Yeah, you'll have.
If there's some is there conflict of interest with that also? Does anybody up here have a conflict with the
17th? No,
with the project. Okay.
I think the only one may not be here is me.
Okay.
You two.
Oh, us two. Okay. We two. All right. I'll have a motion for adjournment.
I move to adjourn.
I'll second. We're adjourned.